smart move.
To Colonial Suzuki. One block east of the Edison Mall on Colonial.
48-month lease for 700 weekend plus 3,000 cash or trade equity down plus tax, taking title. All rebates and incentives to dealers. See dealer for details.
The following is a paid commercial announcement. The views and opinions expressed and the advice offered by the host are not necessarily those of Wink WNOG, Fort Myers Broadcasting, Meridian Broadcasting, or any of their affiliate sponsors or assigns. Number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Good evening, and great to have you along with us this evening here on the Guy James Show. We got a great show planned for you this evening. Lots to talk about coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of gorgeous Fort Myers, Florida, and, of course, Naples, Florida as well. Those of you that have visited our area know that I'm a walking, talking ad for the, what do you call that group? Chamber of Commerce, yeah. Having one of those brain things going on there. But wonderful weather down here this week, about 80 degrees every day, sun shining, and oh, so nice. It's just been spectacular weather. And I hope it's nice where you are as well. Much to talk about tonight. We do hope you'll join in the program tonight. I mean, what's a talk show without you? We depend on you to call in and give us your views on things. We like to have a civil discourse on this program. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504 for all you toll-free folks. Locally, 479-5540, or in Collier County, 263-6570. And we'd be very, very happy to have you join us tonight. And if we get going on a certain topic, we hope you'll stick to that when you do call. Well, you know, as weeks go in politics and world affairs, this was kind of, at least compared to weeks in the recent past, somewhat of a quiet week. There wasn't any huge bombshells this week. I mean, little of this, that, and the other thing. Of course, we've still got this, this deal brewing about, just Mr. Bush. My goodness, we find out that what we've suspected all along is absolutely true, that what he tried so hard to keep from us during the 2000 election and did keep from us and had kept hidden from us, that he didn't just inhale. Oh, my. This is the President of the United States talking now. I mean, you talk about that. Let me be fair about this. I don't care. I really don't care. I don't know what the percentage of is of people in this country who tried to smoke a little weed. I don't know what the percentage is, but I do know a lot of us went to college. And, you know, I think the cocaine thing was a little more serious. I've, frankly, never been around any of that. Don't know anything about it, but it appears maybe Mr. Bush does. But... you know, as the Republicans said, come on, let's be fair here. That's something that happened, I don't know, 25 years ago. Why would you want to discuss anything that happened 25 years ago? Can you say Whitewater? Remember all the old things they dug up on the Clintons? Practically back to the cradle. Anything they could get on old Bill Clinton, didn't matter if it was 25 years old. That didn't matter at all. Can you imagine if one of Bill Clinton's friends, college friends, had come out and said, you know, Bill, let's be, can we talk? Did you ever smoke weed, Bill? Says, well, actually, yes, I did. Or I'm not going to say yes, I did. Really, I'm not going to answer the question, but I don't want any kids to do what what I did. Not what I was thinking about doing, but what I did. But the point is, I don't care if the President of the United States smokes some weed. I don't give a damn. It doesn't matter to me whatsoever. Well, maybe his brain did get fried a little bit on it. I'm not sure. It does appear that way sometimes. But I digress. I don't care. I don't care. It's the hypocrisy. It's the terrible, terrible hypocrisy. Where was the Christian right on that this week when those tapes came out? Where was Jerry Falwell and Mr. Dobson and Robertson decrying the President of the United States? And, oh, my God. The President of the United States smoked weed. We evangelical Christians, there's no way we could ever abide something like that. No, 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 we never could. We will drop any association we have with this man whatsoever for being such a sinner. Well, we didn't hear anything like that. And we also, I might add, didn't hear one single word from Mr. Falwell, Mr. Robertson, and Mr. Dobson, the leaders of the evangelical movement, it appears. Not one single word about the Gannongate affair. Not a word. And like other columnists around the country and other media people and other broadcasters, we've contacted those folks and trying to get their views on it. And guess what? Stonewall, we're not going to answer your questions. We're not going to talk about it. We prefer not to because we don't know anything. They know all about everything else. Well, anyway, that was actually about the biggest news this week. That and Mr. Bush's trip to Europe. Now, the State Department and everybody is billing this as some sort of a whirlwind tour to get back in the good graces of Europe. And my goodness, it appears we're in better stead with France right now because France is going to commit one person to one person to help train the people. And all of Europe there, I think they threw in about $2 million to help train these Iraqi people. So, you know, it was a big success. And more soldiers died, of course. More soldiers die just about every day. But, you know, that's not news. I mean, what? We got a lot of soldiers, right? So what if a few more died? So what? We support the troops. You've seen all those cars driving around town with those little stick-on ribbons on there. We support them. Damn right. I pulled up beside a guy at a stoplight the other day. Looked to me like he's about 25 years old. One of those jacked-up pickup trucks, you know, with the toolbox in the back and the whole thing. Nice truck. Oh, yeah, one of the big Ford dual cab deals, you know, and a nice truck. And he had those babies plastered all over his truck, and he had the window down in his truck. He's playing a little music, and I said, "Hey, have you been to Iraq?" "No." "Where are you going to Iraq?" "No." I just wondered. I saw those support the troop things all over your truck there and everything, and I thought maybe either you had been in the service or you're going in the service or anything. You support Mr. Bush. It also had a Bush sticker on there, a Bush Cheney sticker. I just wondered. And, well, no, I'm not going. I'm not going, but I sure support those people who did. Well, there you go. You know. And, of course, we got Howard Dean. Howard going around the country doing a little speaking to Democrats. We'll be having Howard on the show here in the very near future. Howard is a friend of the program. We are a friend of Howard. I believe in what Howard Dean is doing. I believe Howard is a shot in the arm for the DNC, a real shot in the arm. And I am really looking forward to him getting everything over at the DNC just the way he wants it. And I think he's going to do a great job for the DNC. And I hope he doesn't fall into the trap that so many Democrats are in right now. Oh, my God, this guy's falling. Oh, geez, what are we going to do? You know, there's a lot of difference between the two parties. A lot of difference between the two parties. People often discuss the differences between the Democratic and Republican parties. And some, usually those pesky libertarians say that there's little difference between the two. But I think the differences are many, and they are indeed profound differences in my mind. But the main difference is how the two parties see the usefulness of government. Think about this for a minute. How do both of these parties see government, and what is it used for? And really, this particular divergence is at the heart of all the political battles between the Democratic and Republican Party. What is the use of government? What's it there for? The Republican Party sees the government as a tool to help the rich and privileged. That's the only. When you mention government to them, how can I use them to get more money for me or my rich friends or their favorite lobbyists and all that? It's a way to further enrich and empower those who already have tremendous advantage over the average guy. You know, take a look at almost every bit of legislation the Republicans bring to the floor, and you'll find far more often than not that it favors the rich and the influential. 99% of the time. That might not be accurate. It might be 98.2, something like that. I'm not sure. Take the recent tax cuts, for example. Who really got the lion's share of the benefit of those tax cuts? You know, and they were temporary for a lot of folks. They wanted to make them permanent for the fat cats. You know, this tax cut scheme, when it comes down to the bottom line, was nothing more than a strategy to shift more of the tax burden onto the middle class. That's what it's all about. The rich are looking for a free ride, and they're getting it. They've had a free ride. I wish some of these rich folks had their tax returns out for everybody to see. I think they'd be embarrassed. Some of them don't pay a whole lot of taxes, and I bet you and I pay a lot more taxes than some of those folks. And, you know, they are getting a free ride. That's what they want, a free ride. Cut our taxes. We're making $1 million a year, and we're paying two. Why, cut our taxes. We need it. And then there's this current Social Security charade. It's nothing more than a scheme to make the Wall Street fat cats have control over a huge chunk of our money. Under Bush's plan, the wealthy Wall Street barons will come out winners no matter which way it goes. They're going to manage the money, so they're going to get the cut whether the market goes up or goes down. Doesn't matter. They're going to get their share. That's the plan. And believe you me, over on Wall Street, they're drooling over the possibility of getting control of a couple of $1 trillion of Social Security money. I mean, wouldn't you? And look at how this Bush administration has relaxed clean air and clean water standards, for example. Who came out ahead on those initiatives? Let's face it. If these Republicans in power right now, if they had their way, they'd set up an oil rig on the White House lawn if they thought some of their wealthy buddies could make a buck off of it. They would. They'd put a big old derrick right up there, right on the ellipse, right in front of the White House if they thought they could make a buck off of it. It'll probably happen someday. With the Republicans, it always comes down to wealth and property first. Think about it. That's how they see the government. It's nothing more than a tool to further enrich themselves. And the Democrats, on the other hand, believe that the mission of government is to give the common man more protection from those who would take advantage of him. And also maybe to afford him a chance to make a decent living. The Democratic Party believes that the government should help take care of those who can't take care of themselves. You know, it fascinates me when this current crop of so-called Christian Republicans talk about Christian values, and yet they don't see themselves as their brother's keepers. I've told you before on a program I had a, well, shall we say, friendly, well, not so friendly argument with a former friend who told me one day I didn't sign on to be my brother's keeper. He's a devout Republican. Obviously not a devout Christian. He pretends to be. But he said, told me I did not sign on to be my brother's keeper, and I thought that was odd from a Christian to say that. These Christian Republicans seem to have an aversion to extending a helping hand to the children, to the old people, and those less fortunate. These so-called Christians seem to, they just kind of conveniently forget some Bible verses. I looked up some Bible verses when it came to that this week. You know, lots of profound verses in the Bible. Doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. There's a lot of profound writings in the Bible. It says in there, if there is a poor man among you, brothers, in any of the towns of the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward your poor brother. And in Deuteronomy, there will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your brothers and toward the poor and needy in your land. And in Proverbs, he who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. If you're a Christian, I think maybe you need to take those to heart. I really think if you're a true Christian, you ought to think seriously about this. And there are many, many, many more sayings like that in the Bible. I believe they need to remember that the test of one's religious faith is not only what we say or in the manner or how much we pray, but what we do for others. That's the real test of one's religious faith. And the moral test of government is how that government treats those who are in the dawn of their lives, the children, and those who are in the sunset of their lives, the elderly, and those in the shadows of life, the sick, the needy, and the physically challenged. In that test, you'll find the great divide between the Democrat and Republican parties, and you'll know which one is better for America. You don't have to be very intuitive to figure that out. I certainly know which one for America, and I think history proves which one is best for America. I think history leaves little doubt about that. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, 7504. And 479-5540 here locally, 263-6570. I expect that you will call us, and we'll get to the phones right after these words.
The Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
The clock is ticking. Time is running out. The end of this month means crunch time at Collier County's largest volume used car retailer, Germain Toyota's Big Lot in Naples. Germain's Big Lot will sacrifice 100 prime used cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs between right now and month end. And we'll do just about anything. Get $5,000 minimum for any trade. Now through month end. Get 0% financing on any used car. Now through month end. Over 500 vehicles are on sale. Now through month end. Toyotas, Fords, Dodges. Month end means crunch time. And prices are crunch. Lincolns, Mercurys, Cadillacs, even Lexus. Get the big warranty. Up to 100,000 miles. And special month end pricing. Like a 2004 Toyota Camry LE. Just $12,990. Or an 03 Lincoln Town Car. For $24,990. Now through month end. Only at Germain Toyota's Big Lot. But US 41, just south of Bonita Beach Road. I-75, exit 116, Naples.
Now, when you talk trucks, it's hard to talk about the all-new Nissan Titan without using words like powerful, beautiful, comfortable, rugged, tough, sturdy. And that's why, every day, people pay $25,000 to $30,000. Sutherland Nissan in 2004 sold more new Nissans than ever before. We're going to get bigger in 2005. Because at Sutherland, you can drive home your big, bad, bodacious V8 Titan King Cab XE. $18,988, are you kidding me? Loaded stereo CD, automatic and air, good truck stuff everywhere. $18,988, Naples, are you listening? Dennis, I'm talking to you. If there was ever a real steal-a-truck deal, this is it. Your all-new rock-solid loaded V8 Titan King Cab XE, $18,988. Waiting for you right now, smack dab in the middle of Fort Myers, on US 41 south of Bell Tower Shops on Tamiami Trail. New Titan V8 King Cab XE, $18,988 at Sutherland Nissan today. Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yi.
VINs 520-497 and 519-889. Price after factory rebates and dealer discounts plus government taxes, finance, stock prep, and emission fees.
Some things just come naturally. Eating, walking, falling in love. Others are only learned. Quantum physics and driving a stick shift come to mind. There are hard lessons and there are easy lessons. And sometimes, thanks to changes around us, one of the hard ones becomes an easy one. Like knowing how to buy a home. Now that there's the Home Loan Learning Center, a website found at homeloanlearningcenter.com, the whole process of home ownership just took a big turn toward the easy. Sure, there's still plenty to do to be ready, but suddenly it's not so daunting. There's some credit stuff and figuring out how much home you can afford and understanding what the right type of loan is for you. But it's all right.
I'm coming back right after this.
Presented in a way that's easy to understand and with helpful tools that make it easy to act on. Home Loan Learning Center comes to you as a public service from the people who invest in communities, the Mortgage Bankers Association. Try it. Just log on to www.homeloanlearningcenter.com.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
And welcome back. Yes, indeed. We're excited to be with you this evening. I don't know why. I really looked forward to this show this evening. As you know, some of you know, I missed the show a couple of weeks ago. I had the flu, and it's been a 2 or 3 week thing. I've heard from a lot of people that had this crazy flu, and it just, the upper respiratory part of it just won't go completely away. I don't know what it is, but so if you hear me coughing my head off after a while, you'll know still lingering a little bit, but I feel good. I really do. We've got a lot of things coming up in the program, and a little thing I think you're going to enjoy a little later on in the program. We've got a couple of really hot tunes I want you to hear, and we wrote up a little goodie on how to become a really good Republican, and I think you're going to enjoy that. How to become a really good Republican. And I think it's really good, so hang on. Hey, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to, one of our regulars. We got Diane in North Fort Myers. Hi, Diane.
Yeah, hi. I was furious this week. That with the Gannon, that Jeff Gannon and all that, all it was to pull people away from, again, the dirty deals going on over in Iraq with the contracts. These guys, Bush and Cheney, and their cronies are robbing us blind by billions, just billions missing, just gone. And not one person on the media or the airwaves have dared to mention it. And then he has the audacity to stand and look like he speaks for us, going over there, poking his nose in Putin's business, concerning, like, the media. Hello? Where are we having free media in this country? We're not hearing
right.
Anything.
You're right. Our media's pretty much got a sock,
you know,
in it right
it's,
now.
It's just not funny, though. I mean,
no.
Where in the world has the American people's minds gone?
Our press is really letting us down right now. They're not doing the job.
This is Nelson's money. This is my neighbor's money. It's your money, Guy. Yeah. It's my money. And we've been robbed blind, and we all sit around smiling saying, gee, that's okay.
And they have the audacity to give Halliburton, did you read that? They gave him some bonuses this week for doing such a good job.
Oh, well, they've been in Iran for years, and now we're talking about the French and them being in Iran. Hey, Halliburton's been in there for years. They're there right now. And what has been on the media about that? Nothing.
No, I know. It's a tough situation.
It's shameful.
Right,
it's shameful that, the, you know, maybe our country deserves it. Maybe these people need to get their rear ends out of the NASCAR and the sports scores and, you know, let them be hit down with all of this, because I'm telling you, it's gonna hit them real soon.
Yeah, the apathy is appalling. It really is.
The bubble's about to break unless they can do their con job with, you know, this volunteer, your private account on Social Security to deliberately feed money into what is a bankrupt stock market.
Yeah.
So.
Well, good point. Good point. And thank you for your call, Diane.
All right, guys.
Good to hear from you. Going to go over to, let's go over to Fort Myers and talk to John. Hi, John.
Well, yes, good evening. I always like to hear Diane, and I wish her well. I know that she's got some problems health-wise. You know, I watched the president's trip, and here's a man going around telling people in other countries how to act and how to be. It's just unbelievable.
It is.
And then I read a book one time called The Art of Verbal Self-Defense. I don't know if you've ever run across that.
No.
It's a book you have to read twice because people can talk down to you and you don't realize it. And I've read that book and studied that. And this man is talking down to these countries. He's talking down to the American people. And you notice how he has to tell us things that we already knew existed?
Oh, sure.
Like he's just discovered gold.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
It is. Every time he opens his mouth in public, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, and you know, Diane talked about Halliburton and all that. Last week I had opportunity to watch some of these Senate hearings about the corruption and the millions of dollars that were handed over in cash to Custer Battles, I think, was one of the contractors in Iraq. And they just hand them this money in $100,000 bundles.
Yeah.
And they're, nobody knows where it went. Nobody knows what's going on. And then the Army, regarding our men that we send over there to fight, the reservists and the National Guard people aren't being treated well in the medical hospitals. They may be treated immediately when they come back, but there's no follow-up treatment. And these idiots in the military say, well, we aren't geared to take care of those guys.
Yeah.
Well, why not?
Right, right.
They're military just like the regular military, and you're holding them in reserve in case you need them. Wouldn't you think you'd be able to take care of them when they get hurt? And, you know, last week I said the Republicans want a free ride. They just don't want to pay for anything. If the Republicans had to pay for this war on a pay-as-you-go basis, our taxes would be 70%.
Wow.
Have you heard that number
before? No, no.
Well, I heard it about a year ago, and I was just amazed. And I think Kip Cole, John will probably call in and say, the Americans should be sacrificing. And they should be paying for this war as we go along. 70% of their income to pay for this over there, so their children and grandchildren don't have to pay for it.
Well, John, you remember that old TV commercial, you can pay me now, or you can pay me later.
Well, that's the way it's going.
And that's kids are going to be paying it later.
We're spending, we're just going off on a tooth. And then the Social Security. Now, this just really grabs me. I'm thinking of these numbers. They're going to take 2% of the 12% that companies and employees pay into the Social Security, and they're going to allow the individual to invest it, probably in programs that they pick, of their stockbroker friends suggest. Now, when a person's making $8 an hour, that's $16,000 a year before taxes. What the hell is 2% going to produce for them to retire on? Will you tell me that?
Sure, sure.
Has anybody looked at these numbers? And from what I can gather from all the talk that's going on about the problems with Social Security, the federal government is borrowing the money out of Social Security. And guess what? When it comes time to pay back these Treasury bills that they've given in lieu of the money, the government isn't going to have that money to pay back. That's the problem with Social Security. All this money that is being loaned out to the federal government, you don't have a Chinaman's chance of getting it back the way things stand right now, because it's that pay me later bit.
Well, I hope those that have paid in get their fair share out of it. You know, I was gonna come back at you, John, when we're talking about the wars there.
Yes.
If we could wave our magic wand and take the military industrial complex in this country and nationalize it, okay? Make it a non-profit organization. I wonder how many wars we'd be involved in if there was no profit to war. I wonder if no Bush cousins or uncles or a Carlisle group or anything ahead,
right.
If they stood not to make a dime off the military, I wonder how many wars we'd be involved in right now.
Exactly. And if you look at the Frontline series, if you get a copy of it, it's probably on tape, called Rumsfeld's War. The only reason we went to war in Iraq was because Donald Rumsfeld wanted to do it. He has been itching to do it since 1993, 94, 96. Clinton was approached to go there. And if we can thank Monica Lewinsky for anything, it's that she got Clinton into a problem that interfered with him being talked into going into a war in Iraq. But Rumsfeld has a theory about how you can win a war with very little troops, and he's responsible for a big cutback and the reason we went in with so few troops.
Oh, yeah.
And Colin Powell, I saw a promo on television. I don't know what station he'll be on giving his interview, but they already stated in that promo that he said we didn't take enough troops in there, and I'm just interested to see what else this man is going to say. Oh, he was very upset because he got false information from our, laughingly, I call them intelligence agencies.
Well, the problem with Colin Powell, though, I always respected Colin Powell before this whole mess started. Now he talks. Why didn't he have the cojones to resign right then and there and tell the American people the truth?
Exactly. That old team player thing. Of course, I think Colin Powell misled himself, too. In Rumsfeld's War, it tells how he met with the president at dinner and told him not to go into Iraq, but to go after bin Laden in Afghanistan. And I think Colin Powell figured that might satisfy Rumsfeld's lust for war, which it just did not. And if there's anybody that should be tried for war crimes, it's Rumsfeld.
Well, this is his war.
Yes, thank you, sir.
About it. Thank you for your call, John. Good to hear from you. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. That is a toll-free call. And we do hope you'll give us a call. 479-5540 here in Lee County. In Collier County, 263-6570. Love to hear from you this evening. We really would. We've got a lot to talk about. I do want to talk about Bush's little barnstorming tour going around the country talking about the Social Security. I don't personally think he's going to get it done. I'm starting to hear some Republicans have some guts and say they don't want to go along with it. Who knows? There might even be a few Democrats have some guts in this whole thing. I know that would be hard for some of you to believe, but the way our Democrats have been paying patty cake with Bush lately, I kind of wonder. But it kind of looks like a few of them are going to hang in there and oppose him on this. We'll see. We will see. I certainly hope so. You know, Bush is over in Europe this week meeting with the heads of state. And, you know, regarding Bush's attitude toward the world, they like to say he's a leader. True leadership in today's world requires a whole lot more than a large stock of weapons and an iron hard fist at the conference table. True leadership is a whole lot more than that. Any tin-horn dictator with a big defense budget like Bush, he can go threaten all the people he wants to. But if you want to be a real leader, you can go talk peace and a sensible peace at a table and still do what's right for the world and this nation, first of all. Let's go to Dick in Naples. Hi, Dick.
Hey, how you doing, guy?
Great.
It's been a while. Any chance of you getting a different maybe some prime time during the week on this station? I used to listen to you in the afternoon, and now they seem to shove you here to 7 to 10 on a
Saturday night. Well, as you know, Dick, this show, as most Democratic shows in this country, we buy our time.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
And it costs a lot of money to buy time on a radio show, and and plus the fact that the right-wingers have got it all sewed up.
Well, you do a hell of a job, and, you know, I'm glad you mentioned right-wingers, and they had it sewed up. You know, down here you have no choice if you live in Collier County, because 62% of the registered voters in this community, or this county, I should say, are Republicans. And, you know, I listen to all of these guys. I like to know what the other side's thinking of, and I do pick up a liberal talk show host out of Miami, a station's out of Miami. He comes out from, he's up in, I guess he's up in Utah. I think his name is Schultz. Ed Schultz?
Yeah.
Familiar with him?
Yes. I've met Ed a couple of times.
All of these right-wing talk shows, they talk about being patriotic, and Democrats are not patriotic. You know, you don't support the president, and they just get irked me to no end. I just would love to see a guy like, for example, Sean Hannity, who's he's 42 years old, and he talks about this war and how just it is and how we really need to be there. Why doesn't he resign from the station he's at, go over there for about 2 years, take a leave of absence, and he can come back and just think of the ratings he'd get after he came back, if he was able to come back?
That's a good idea.
If he can't do that, if he doesn't have the stones to do that, why doesn't he go to Walter Reed Hospital, where we have about 400 or 500 young men and women with arms limpness and legs missing? These are Americans. You know, we're not defending our country. We're defending that part of the world. We're not going to change those people. We're not going to make that country a democracy. Bush declared victory. He got on, you know, when he made that helicopter landing on that ship. I forget the name of the ship, and he thought it was all over.
Abraham Lincoln.
Vietnam veteran, and we've discussed this before, guy. And this is going to be another Vietnam. And Clinton was right. This is going to be his Vietnam. And all these right wing talk show hosts, you know, they can get on the air. They got the airways sewed up. I like to see one of them go to Walter Reed and ask those kids how they feel and how they're going to live for the next 50 or 60 years with eyes missing and limbs missing.
Well, instead the U.S. government sent Rush Limbaugh to Afghanistan to meet with the troops this week. It's not good enough that they've got the 24/7 on the airwaves. They got to send him over there for more propaganda.
Well, you know, you stole my thunder. That was going to be my next point. And it just irks me to no end. that, you know, that, that these guys, you talk about these no, there's no spin zone with this guy, Bill O'Reilly. I mean, he's as far right as the other, as Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh ever thought of being. You know, he wants everybody to think he's in the middle. I'd love to see these guys, you know, not to be repetitive here, but visit some of these kids, and Walter Reed and see if they're, if their attitude doesn't change about war.
Well, you know, Dick, at least, as much as I dislike Hannity and Limbaugh, at least they're honest about what they are. Here we got O'Reilly trying to ride the fence and say that he's nonpartisan. Oh, come on, O'Reilly,
all right,
please.
Well, you know, you're right. As much as I can't stand Limbaugh and Hannity, and I do listen to them because I'd like to see what the other side's thinking. And, of course, after a while, it gets to be all hat. It's so repetitious, and it's they're already bashing Hillary Clinton. They're all concerned that, you know, she may have to go up against Condoleezza Rice for the presidency in 08. I mean,
wouldn't
they're already taking shots at her.
Oh, yeah. Well, they started the day after this last election. They started in on Hillary.
Certainly did. I don't know. Guy, I don't want to tie your time up. It's always a pleasure chatting with him. Please keep up the good work, and... Is this done by contributions?
Yes, it is. Are you online?
Yes, I am.
www.theguyjamesshow.com.
Okay, I'm heading home in my car now. I'll look it up. And is there a form, an application, or a place to send a donation?
Yeah, there sure is.
All right, I'll do that, Guy.
Thank you, Dick. Good to hear
from you.
Sir.
Okay, bye-bye.
Dick's a friend of ours from Naples that we used to talk with when we were on a station down in Naples way back. We got to pause for a break right now, Ron? We are? Okay, we are. I'm going to do what my board op says out there. He says break. We mean break. We're going to do it right now. Don't go anywhere. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. We'll be back right after a couple of words. Don't go anywhere.
Restoring the liberal media, The Guy James Show.
Taylor, come on. Let me get those groceries from you.
Oh, hi, David. Yes, it'll be a big help there.
Okay. Whoa, these are heavy.
Listen, how's the landlord business?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good.
Did you rent the apartment next door yet?
No, not yet, Miss Taylor, no. Oh, some guy came by today to look at it, but, you know, I didn't even show it to him.
Oh, why not?
Well, come on, he was a brother.
Well, why wouldn't you rent to your brother?
No, a brother, you know, colored, black guy.
Excuse me?
No, don't worry. No, I told him somebody else put down a deposit. It happens all the time. I figured you wouldn't want one of them living next door. You know what I mean.
No, David. I don't know what you mean.
The first step in fighting racial prejudice is taking a stand. Imagine the power of one voice. Find yours at freedomcenter.org. A message from the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center and the Ad Council.
Oh, that was one awesome burrito.
I told you this place was great.
I know. I had no idea. No, I got to get back to work. Waiter. Señor, el checo, por favor.
Jenny, that's not our waiter.
Oh, whatever.
You know, I can't tell the difference between all these Mexicans anyway. You know what I mean?
No, Jenny. I really don't know what you mean.
Imagine the power of one voice. Find yours at freedomcenter.org. A message from the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center and the Ad Council.
Savage. I see these high-tech weapons. Wow, look at that.
We're back after this one.
Look at that stealth. They can't seem to get these guys, can they? What's the good of the trillions of dollars if we're not going to use any of this weaponry? Oh, I got plenty of Mrs. Smith's sons to send out there and put bullseyes on their back. They're cheaper politically, so let Mrs. Smith's son take a bullet in the head because there's less collateral political damage, and that's what eats my heart out. The Savage Nation is now heard on WINKWNOG weeknights starting at 6. Join me if you're brave enough to face the truth.
Heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
I don't know if all of you just heard that commercial that was played during during the break. One of the weirder people in the country, as far as I'm concerned, Michael Savage. Michael Wiener's his real name. Wiener is his name, by the way. Here we got a guy that uses the logic that if we would go to Iraq and kill everybody, all of them, men, women, and children, everybody, just go there and throw a bunch of those big what do they call them, daisy cutter bombs, or maybe even nuke them, some tactical, kill them all, and then we wouldn't lose any soldiers. Now, that's some logic right there. Then we could do the same thing with Iran, just go in and evaporate the place, throw a few big ones in there, 100 megaton jobs right over Tehran, and we wouldn't lose one soldier. That's some logic. That guy is nuts. He's either completely, certifiably insane, or he's one of the better actors that there is in the radio, and I suspect there's a little bit of both involved there. I really do. My God. Hey, and speaking of, we haven't spared the rod on some of our Democratic friends lately. We talk about Mr. Nelson and some of his votes he's done lately, and, of course, you all know about Joe, former Democrat Lieberman. I know a lot of you are not going to like what I have to say right now, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's true. It's true. It's true. And I don't care who it is. I don't care who in the Democratic Party it is. Here we've got this rising star, and I'm among the people who watched the Democratic convention this year and said, wow, look at this guy. Look at the charisma. Look at the moxie this guy is showing. Barack Obama. I don't want to take anything away from him. He's a great speaker. He's a hell of a smart guy. He knows the score in politics. There's no doubt about it. And he's headed onward and upward, but not for me. Not for me. As you know, he voted to accept Condoleezza Rice and Alberto Gonzalez against the wishes of most Democrats. And this week, on this class action suit legislation, he voted with the Republicans. Dead set against average Joe American on the class action suit. Barack Obama, shame on you. Shame on you. I am disappointed in you, man. I'm really disappointed in you. It's going to take a lot of work on your part to get back in my good graces. Not that you care, but I'm going to let people know when Democrats do dirty deeds, too. And I thought that was a bad one, a real bad one. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. Hey, where's our right-wing friends? Call us. We're going to talk about you a little later on. We're going to talk on how to become a really good Republican, and maybe you can give us some help on that. Or after we talk about how to become a really good Republican, you can give us a critique and see maybe if you follow all these things, if you become a better Republican after you hear it. You can always be better, you know. Hey, let's go to John in Cape Coral. Hi, John.
Well, good evening. I think I've been listening to you, and I listened to my friend Downtown John from Fort Myers. We've been buddies for years over talk radio until they killed the medium over in here, except for your show. Social Security. Why are they doing this? I think there's a very simple reason, and I think it's going to happen. You know why I think it's going to happen?
Why?
Because they're going to pay for this Iraq war.
Well, that's true, but I...
You know, we're so much in the hole, and we are so much spending money. You know, how many billions have we spent? This was 380 to bin, then another 80 billion. I mean, you know, all these billions start floating by, it sounds like nothing.
Yeah. Billionaire,
and we
billionaire.
Have a national debt. How do you pay for it?
Well, I don't think they're planning on paying for it, John. I think that's the problem.
Well, I think they are, and I think it's off the backs of the people coming up on Social Security. And, what's the motivation for this? You got to pay for a war, and we're in debt.
And that war, by the way, the cost of that war is not even figured in on that budget deficit.
Well, this is money from nowhere? It doesn't exist?
That's right.
It's a war that we decided was not, you know, legal because of the Constitution. Now you're saying it's not even figured in the budget?
No.
Well, where does the money come from, sir? Out of the thin air?
Well, absolutely. It's out of thin air.
Not at all. I think these guys are shrewder than you give them credit for.
Hocus pocus, alakazam. I mean, boom.
No, out of Social Security.
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, you start putting it... Tell me I'm wrong, sir. I mean, you got to pay for this thing somewhere. And these people realize it. So they're raiding the Social Security to pay for this war.
All right, so we get 20 million people down the road 10 years that don't get their Social Security check anymore. Bush better move to, he better move to Afghanistan or someplace. Be people looking for
him. Well, he'll be out of power by that point.
Well, he'll be out of power, but he's still got to live in this country, my God.
Not necessarily.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care, but I'm serious. It's got to be paid. I mean, I just figure it out. You can't get something from nothing. And these guys are shrewd. They're clever. They got to pay for this war. You say they're not even figuring it in the budget. Well, something doesn't come from nothing.
Well, and John, you've noticed more and more and more stories coming up on the financial news pages lately about the dollar falling and, you know, the bonds that the Chinese and the Japanese are holding over our heads and could bankrupt us tomorrow if they want to. There's trouble on the horizon.
Well, look at it for another way. I've seen pictures of you, and as I hear from you, I don't think that you're in the youngest age range. Am I correct?
Oh, come on, man. Give me a break.
No, I'm wrong.
That picture lies, John.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, maybe not too much.
Well, I figure I know I'm collecting Social Security, so I'm not a kid anymore.
I'm not quite there.
But you're getting there.
We're all getting there, John.
And you'll probably get it fairly soon.
Well, sooner than I'd like to.
Okay. But the people coming up behind you, your children and grandchildren, those are the ones that are going to pay for it, and a lot of those people are the ones supporting Bush. They don't realize that they're the targets of.
Oh, it's real easy to go to those Bush rallies right now and go, yee-haw, good old Bush. Well, just wait. You're exactly right, John.
But, you know, and the question is why? And I'm saying to you, there's got to be a reason, and I think the reason, you look at the equation, and I'm fairly simplistic, you got to pay for this Iraq war. And you're saying it's not in the budget? Well, you know, you can't get money out of a stone. It's got to come from somewhere.
Well, creative financing.
Well, that's the creative financing.
You bet.
And the creative financing is to steal it. And let me put something else to you. These people are in bigger trouble than I think we give credit for. And they don't even realize it. That's the real sad thing on this. Those of us who are there, and again, I put you in this generation, will probably be all right. Those of us coming after us are in deep trouble. Look at, there was an article in the news press, I believe it was, about people working for the airlines, how they were guaranteed incomes. The income is going down. The pensions are disappearing that they were promised. They have no safety cushion. Then they will not have Social Security. Now, they get to the point where they're your age, my age, what are they going to have?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right. You're right. It's, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I wish I did. I wish I were a better economist.
You see, the Republicans are saying to them, oh, and they're promising. You know, it's a wonderful scheme. We're promising you the world. You know, it's a flim-flam. Oh, it's going to be in the stock market. You're going to invest. And then these people are going to hit older age. These people who are in power, as you said, are going to disappear. By that time, it's too late.
Well, that's exactly right.
And again, why? Well, this war has to be paid for. You know, we're putting all this money in rebuilding Iraq. In the meantime, we're not building our country.
Oh, no. We're building new schools over there, new sewer lines, new water lines, all that. And in the meantime, the infrastructure in the United States is crumbling.
We count No Child Left Behind. This is Bush's thing. No Child Left Behind. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it?
Does if it worked.
But are we funding it?
No, certainly not.
So if we don't fund it, again, there's a house of cards. It looks awfully good right now. There's a lot of flim-flam. But at some point, it's got to come down.
Exactly right. I couldn't agree more.
You know, I guess it's a poor phone call because I'm not challenging the host, but...
Well, there comes a time, John, we have a meeting of the minds. I mean...
Yeah, well...
It's play money, it's phony money, funny money, you know, whatever you want to say. This budget that they've got out right now is so full of holes. It screwed over the poor people in the country more than any recent budget in recent memory, and all the extra military costs are not in it at all. And everybody's going, oh, okay, we'll pass that. I don't know.
It's a house of cards.
It is.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
When you get, and I assume you'll get a few of the right wing callers.
I hope.
Okay, ask them how old they are. Ask them if they are already, in the same age range as you and I, and they're pretty well secure.
Well, you know, we had a caller last week, John. He said he was from the right, and he said he was a respectful young man, and said he hoped they do away with Social Security.
Well, then what is he going to live on when he gets older? If the companies don't have pensions, they're not holding it, then, so many people are getting hit by this. If you haven't worked, as I have, for some government agency, the company you work for decided, hey, we can't afford it, we're not going to honor the pensions. And you're out there, and you haven't got Social Security. What are you going to look
for? According to this guy, you're going to plan when you're young. Unlike 99% of the people who ever live in this country, unlike them, you're going to plan when you're 20 years old to start putting the money away for your retirement, and you're going to do it faithfully each and every week because you've got so much money you can spare out of your paycheck, and you're just going to plan for your future, and you're going to be rich by the time you require because you did it all on your own.
And so many people do that, and of course, when the hard times come, they start digging into it, because you got to take care of the emergency of today just as we're taking care of Iraq today, and they're not planning on tomorrow, and there's nothing out there for you.
And how much can you save out of $8 an hour?
Well, again, they brought out these people. I think they were either American Airlines or United Airlines. All the contracts they made are not being honored, and all of a sudden they're making less money because these companies are losing business. And American industry is not doing well. We're sending all these jobs out and, importing to China. And, and we have basically a service economy now, not a manufacturing economy, except, maybe a little bit for the war. And that's about it.
That's right. That is right.
I think people don't realize, and I hope that you can point out, we're in deep trouble. And this whole thing at Social Security is undermining one of the, under the underpinnings that are holding people up. And it's the younger people who are not realizing it. When I was younger, I didn't start thinking either. But fortunately, I had people who helped plan for me, and I was in a wonderful retirement plan. Because you don't think of these things when you're younger. And yet the age begins to creep up on you, as you just said, and all of a sudden the time comes, you're there. And if you don't have backing of a retirement plan and you haven't got Social Security, you're out in the left field.
John, you're so right, and that brings up an important point. You and I aren't that far apart in age. We worked in our lives. We had part of our, well, in my case, for many, many years, and probably yours too, we had our insurance completely paid for. You had your medical, you had your dental, you had your eyeglass, you had your life insurance paid for through a company, you had a retirement plan. Okay, so you take all that away. Take all that away, which most companies are taking that away right now. Now you've got to pay for all that stuff out of your paycheck and contribute in for the Social Security? I don't think so.
It's not going to happen.
No.
I think this plan of Bush's is so destructive. And again, it's not to people our age.
No.
And it's to very much the people supporting Bush who don't realize, yes, he's doing this. He's selling it, and he's selling it to pay for this war, by the way, which was never declared. Never constitutional, and I know nobody likes to hear me say it, but I think it's true. And we're at a war that's not a war, because it's not legally a war. And then you say it's not part of the budget, so we're not paying for it, but we are paying for it. What is real in this world?
Well,
except as Downtown John mentioned, all those wounded, and by the way, somebody's got to pay for them in the years to come, or we're just going to let them sit on our streets as among the homeless.
Well, would it surprise you with this, you know how this administration loves to go out and do the photo ops with the troops, but to hell with them when they come home with their legs blown off. We're going to cut their benefits. We're cutting military benefits all over the place right now. We're closing veterans hospitals all the way across the country. But when he's out there taking pictures with the veterans, he sure loves them then.
Oh, we have these wonderful, as I keep mentioning, week after week, we have these wonderful decals on the back of our cars. They say support the troops, but we don't know what we mean by that.
I know what they mean by that. I know exactly what they mean by that. They don't mean a damn thing by that. That means I bought this thing, I paid $2 for it, I put it on my car, that's the end of my responsibility. That's what it means.
Well, you know something, what you're picturing is a very sad situation. And I think, again, my friend downtown John hit it. There is no sacrifice that anybody in this country is making except for the people going over there.
That's right. But, John, these people sacrifice $2 to buy those things, you know.
Well, I'm not even sure it's that much. And I really think, you know, during World War II, I'm old enough to remember, there was a whole spirit of sacrifice where this country said, we're going to work to support this war. We don't have it now. This country is not supporting the war in Iraq. The politicians are. The few people who got stuck over there are. We don't even have a draft. I mean, look at Bush's daughters. Are they going into service?
No, and you know you're right about the sacrifice during the war, the gas rationing, the sugar rationing, the scrap drives, the string drives, all the things people sacrificed during the war. And, you know, they did it, and it brought this country together. There was solidarity because the whole country was sacrificing together now, then. But now, who's sacrificing now? Only the poor folks.
And only by putting decals on cars.
That's right. John, thanks for your
really
help.
Is hypocrisy at its worst, and it's dishonesty, and we're paying the price. Thank you, Guy. I think you're doing a great job.
Thanks for your call, John. Good
Take
to hear
care.
From you. You know, the guy's right on the mark. I know somebody get tired of hearing about it, but what are we going to do? Is this apathy going to keep up? Are we all just going to keep sitting here until they come and knock on your door? That's what we're doing. That's exactly what we're doing. Well, it's not exactly affecting me a whole lot right now, so it's all right. I don't know. Hey, listen to the Guy James Show, Wink WNOG, 1240, 1270 AM, Fort Myers, Naples, Florida. We'll be back right after the news. You be here when I get back.
A Democrat and proud of it.
That Guy West Florida's James. Official news, weather, and traffic station, Wink WNOG.
News Radio, I'm Greg Jarrett. Who is the BTK killer? Wichita police say they've caught their man, 59-year-old Dennis Rader.
A man who was married, lived in the same house the last 30 years, has two adult children, shopped at the local grocery store, and served the spaghetti at church.
Fox's Carol McKinley in Wichita, Kansas. The Pope's recovery. For the first time in his 26-year papacy, John Paul II will miss Sunday prayer.
Vatican officials say that the Pope will symbolically take part in the service, reading prayers in his hospital room.
Fox's David Lee Miller in Rome. Hollywood Super Bowl is tomorrow night, the Oscars. Here's Fox's Lisa Bernhardt on the Best Actress category.
These are some small and kind of dark and depressing films not a lot of folks have seen. Annette Bening being Julia, that's actually one of the lighter ones. Catalina Sandino Moreno for Maria Full of Grace, Imelda Staunton, Hilary Swank, the front runner, and Kate Winslet for Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Fox News, we report, you decide.
Have questions about your car? Want to know the latest trends in the automobile industry? Or just want to talk car talk? Well, tune in to Wink WNOG's Car Clinic Show every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Hosted by legendary automobile guru John Nocera for the last 20 years. John will take your calls and answer your questions on just about anything. Give him a call, tune in, and enjoy Dr. Johnny's perspective Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. only here on Wink WNOG.
The Wink WNOG's business person of the day could be your colleague or someone who's gone above and beyond the call of duty. Florist Ruth Mesmer or Gene's Fifth Avenue Florist will deliver a bright, eye-opening arrangement to the winner's workplace. I'm Dave Elliott from Daybreak Southwest Florida. Fax your nomination to me at 332-0767. That's 332-0767. Each weekday, I'll announce the Wink WNOG business person of the day, brought to you by Ruth Mesmer and Gene's Fifth Avenue Florists. Who doesn't like flowers?
With SeaVeg, you feed your cells with the most nutritionally potent and mineral-rich family of plants on the earth. Humans cannot directly consume the rays of the sun and the nutrients of the sea, so we rely on ocean plants that concentrate the energy from these two powerful sources through the miracle of photosynthesis. Sea Veg delivers the nutrients of these powerfully potent plants in easy-to-take capsules. For more information, tune in this Sunday at 6 a.m. for more information on Sea Veg.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor. Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
Hello from the road, folks. Yep, it's that time of year again to come out of hibernation and hit the road. So I'm staying at Econo Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotel. I earn double Easy Choice stamps for nights or double airline miles for flights. Call 800-4-CHOICE or visit choicehotels.com. We'll see you there.
Earn 2 stamps per night, maximum 10 stamps per stay or double airline miles or credits for qualifying stays between February 1st and April 30th, 2005. For details, visit choicehotels.com.
Hey, Dad.
What?
Can you get the ketchup bottle open?
Here, let me try. There you go.
Thanks.
You don't have to be a hero to be a hero. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Lead, lost the House and Senate too. If you live in a blue state, you're probably feeling blue. You turn to a spokesperson for the GOP. Now you're in power for 4 more years. What will your agenda be? And he said, we vow to fight to protect the rights of embryonic cells. And anyone that disagrees is heading straight to hell. We cherish each and every single strand of DNA. Unless, of course, it turns out that that DNA is gay. In which case, we'll have no choice but to see God's will be done. We'll violate its civil rights and make sure that it's shunned for 4 more years. Morality will rule for more years. We'll put prayer back into schools. We'll teach them to hate and discriminate against all of them queers. There ain't nothing you can do about it for more years. There is no doubt we're running out of our petroleum. In 30 years it disappears, and that is worrisome. So we send the fleet, we'll drag our feet on renewable energy. Cause God forbid our friends in Texas lose their monopoly. Though solar power would not pollute our water, air, and soil. We'd rather send our troops to war than lose a single drop of oil. We got 4 more years. We just won a majority. 4 more years. Just how stupid can we be? We're resolute and we'll pollute the whole damn atmosphere. So just lie back and enjoy it, folks. We got 4 more years. Although he was a drunken red mountains of cocaine. We stand behind our president because he's born again. We'll send the poor to make war on each country he invades. From Baghdad to Damascus in this 21st century crusade. And we don't give a damn if all our cities turn to slums. Faithful will rise up to heaven when Armageddon comes. We got 4 more years free of sin and vice. 4 more years all Condoleezza Rice. You'll get the shaft when we start the draft as we run out of volunteers. We're glory bound, we'll be around for 4 more years. Pro-choice, we'll lose your voice. Your freedoms we will port when we appoint evangelists to every seat on the Supreme Court. Because we mourn for your unborn, for so long we have prayed. Coat hangers will be back in vogue when we overturn Roe v. Wade. And anyone that doesn't believe, you have only yourselves to blame. Too bad for you, it's true, you'll spend eternity in flames. We got
4 more years.
You'd best repent your sins.
4 more years
of Laura and the twins. We won this fight because we know we're right. Got whispers in our ears. We have no doubt we've won this bout. We've got
4 more years.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that song by Dean Friedman, I think that about says it all, doesn't it? A little levity there on the show. I think we need that now and then. But, of course, there was a lot of factual information in that as well. I like that blend. Facts and levity. Yes, indeed, we need it. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. 479-5540 for all you right-wing radical. Oh, I'm going to stop right there. If you want to call, just go right ahead. And 263-6570, for all you folks down in Collier County, just saw the newspaper today, the average house in Collier County now costs $500,000. That's the average, the median house. Okay. Just thought you folks around the country would like to know that. Let me see. Probably you folks up in Westchester County, New York, won't be impressed. And maybe you people out in Hollywood won't be impressed. But $500,000 is the median house is... quite a little bit, anyway. Going to get to the phones in just a minute. We do hope you'll give us a call. It's important to have you have you along with us. We want to welcome some folks. Of course, all of our friends at the great, the very best website on the Internet, Democratic Underground. Man, I'll tell you. And don't get me wrong, folks. We got all sizes, shapes, hues, and colors on Democratic Underground. We've got them from the far left to the middle to the centrist. Everybody's there. We're Democrats. We fight like hell because we're Democrats. You know, we have to do that. And it's just one great website, and I do want to thank Skinner and Elad for keeping that website going. Thousands and I don't know the last time I looked, 60 some thousand members, and it's a lively discussion, and you can find anything you want on there for about Democratic politics and world affairs. Great place to be. Want to say hello to all of our friends down at Bentley Village in Naples. The crew down there, a fine group, let me tell you. I understand they're listening to the show and enjoy it, and we enjoy having them along with us. And I welcome all of you. You are what make this show what it is right now, and we're getting our name out quite a bit. The show's improvement, and I want to thank the donors from last week's show. I'll get to some names on that after a while. Do want to remind everybody this is a donor, listener donor. I can't even say that right. What I was wanting to say is, if you folks donate money, we can keep the show on the air. It's about that simple. And you can go to www.theguyjamesshow.com and throw a few shekels our way, and we would certainly appreciate it. You don't have to give $1 million or anything. If 1 million of them would give a couple bucks, I think we'd be in really good shape for a long time. So we're looking forward to that. And we talk a lot about Democratic politics on here, and I'm going to get back to the phones in just a short time. So, and by the way, we got, I think, one line open there, so give us a call. I've been thinking about what the Democrats have to do to return to our glory days. You know, there was a time I didn't even think about Republican politics because it didn't matter. Oh, yeah, Eisenhower snuck in there for a little bit, but, you know, he wasn't that... He wasn't that much of a Republican. My dad was always PO'd at him because, you know, Ike actually made a choice when he came up, like military guys do, when he came out of the service. He had to decide whether he was going to be a Republican or a Democrat. And, you know, that usually happens to military guys. But, you know, there's a lot of ideas floating around from the various factions of the party. And I think that word factions is perhaps a word we Democrats should look at real closely. The very definition of the word means a clique or a group acting against a larger body, a cabal, if you will, but it sure doesn't mean what we desperately need right now, and that is cohesiveness, togetherness, solidarity. Can't think of anything else, any other adjective. Acting as one for a common goal. And actually, we need to restate our common goals to the people of this country. Restate our goals. We need to start over again and become the party of the people again, the large numbers of ordinary people who the Democrats have helped thrive and who the Democratic Party has protected over the years. I know it's going to rub some of you the wrong way with what I want to say, but as you well know, that doesn't stop me from saying what I believe on this program, and it never will. But we need to do some soul searching and put away some of our selfish goals for a while until we can get our people elected. And then, once we get them elected, then we can deal with those individual goals from a position of strength instead of one of weakness, as we're doing right now. We don't have any strength right now. We need to stop having a couple of dozen special interest groups vying for power in the party and trying to run the party. Solidarity is what we need. We need a common purpose right now. And I know some of you don't want to hear me say it, but I think it's been proven that you cannot win a national election on social issues like gay rights and Roe v. Wade. There I said it. Flame away. It can't be done. You can't win a national election on those issues. You first got to win elections by stating some strong positions on real solutions for the masses, on issues such as pensions and health care and housing and working conditions. Issues that are important to the great middle class, the bulk of the voters. Then and only then can we go to work on issues that are important to the various factions in the party. But first, we have to all hang together and promote the policies that affect that great silent majority that Mr. Nixon often spoke about. Nothing against any of our factions in the party, but we have to get our guys to drive the buses before you can ride on them again. Otherwise, the doors will be continue to be slammed in your face. You know, the hardest job for a politician today is to have the guts to be a moderate. It's easy to be an extremist. Real easy. And you know, education's another issue that needs to be addressed by Democrats. Not on a national level, but down at the grassroots, in the states, and most of all, locally. I think Democrats have made a terrible mistake in participating in this debacle of having the federal government take over public education. It's a crime. It's a crime against our kids. And if the current trend continues, there will be no public education. That's what the Republicans are after, to get rid of public education. You know, local schools need to be run by local people and local educators and do it to the local needs. That's the way it needs to be. That's the way it used to be, and it worked. Get the federal government out of the classrooms. They don't belong in there. And as Democrats, we need to stop this defeatist attitude that's so pervasive in the party right now. Stop looking at the red versus the blue state map as some sort of a insurmountable mountain we have to climb. Did you know there are 11 states where Republicans have a very solid lead? 11. And there are 39 states where Democrats either lead or could win by changing a small percentage of the voters' minds. Think about that. 39 states where Democrats either lead or could win by changing a small percentage of voters' minds. Did you know that? You know, we need to work on those red state people, not give them up as lost forever. Many of them will return to the fold when they finally realize that Republican policies are absolutely killing America. When they realize that the Chinese and the Japanese quit buying American bonds and supporting Bush's huge deficit, we're going to take a huge hit. You know, we must convince the American people that this is an issue critical to America's future. Those two countries could bankrupt us right now, tomorrow. If they chose to pull their money out of it, we would be busted. How many Americans realize that fact? And why doesn't the American public know and understand the problems that we've got with education and the budget deficit and the other massive problems? Because of the pitiful state of the American media. Yes, the media. You know, it was once a proud, proud group that kept Americans informed and kept politicians honest. Kept the politicians' feet to the fire. You know, our media has deteriorated into something more like, I don't know, it's more like reporting from Alfred E. Newman than from Edward R. Murrow and Walter Cronkite. Instead, we find Americans getting news from drug junkies like Rush Limbaugh or sexual perverts like Bill O'Reilly or gambling addicts like Bill Bennett and the amazingly prolific liars like Sean Hannity. People actually get their news from those guys. And as I've often said, folks, don't get your news from me. I give you my opinion and my truth, and then you go do your own research and determine who's giving you the facts, and I know how that'll turn out. But get involved. You know, now more than ever, Democrats need to band together and decide what's important for the great masses and work like hell to convince America that the Democratic Party of the past is becoming a sleek new party, which has successfully blended the wisdom of our past with dynamic new ideas, which will lead us to a bright new future for America and the world community as well. We must think about the world community, too. This is the Democratic Party of today, and it's the Democratic Party that, for the good of America, must return to prominence in American politics. It must. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The Democratic Party must return to power. They must. For the good of this country. First and foremost, for the good of this country. Going to go to Bill in Fort Myers. Oh, there you go, Bill. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Guy.
Good to have you with us, my friend.
Thank you for still being on the air. I almost stroked out when I didn't hear you that week, and none of the local people that I heard bothered to give us a break and tell us that you were just sick and it'll be okay.
Oh. But well, I'm sorry about that.
I'm not as articulate as you, but I want to come right out and ask the question, why was the American people stupid enough to reelect President Bush? And I think I have an answer for it.
I think it's simple. I mean, you folks all know me. You know that I'm interested in talk radio, and I think the media war was won lock, stock, and barrel by the Republicans. It was 100-1. I mean, we didn't have a chance against it.
Well, that's right. But I think that the American people, and it's not only the Democrats, all of Europe thinks that we're insane to elect this man again.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that the Democrats were in control so long that the American people are almost under a drug to believe that nothing's going to happen to education because the Democrats are going to, they won't let anything happen to it. Nothing's going to happen to the environment. Nothing's going to happen to poor people. And the belief that the Democrats will always be there to help the poor is simply a myth. If they're not in power, it's going to be a disaster.
They have not figured out yet that the Democrats have definitely had their feathers plucked.
And I want to address another myth that I picked up on talk radio that, well, Bill Clinton devastated the military, and then this wonderful George Bush got elected, and he snapped his fingers, and all of a sudden the military appeared. Well, first of all, when the Cold War ended, we were lucky enough to end the Cold War with President Reagan and others, and the military had to be cut. The Congress will not give you money if you don't have an enemy, so most of the cuts were under President Bush Sr. And then there were cuts under Bill Clinton. But I was reading a non-political magazine called Popular Science, which very clearly stated that if the advances in computer science weren't done under the Bill Clinton administration, largely by the Vice President Al Gore, that everybody wants to laugh at, we would not have this advanced military, and there's nobody even close to us as far as computer science goes. So let's get that myth out of the way.
Bill, you're right. And you know, the other thing is, all of these cuts that they talk about that happened during the Clinton administration, it was Rumsfeld and Cheney back
right
during the Bush and Reagan administration that pushed for all that and got it.
Well, and another thing is, when you cut something in the military, you don't just snap your fingers. You have to have a date to do it. And President Bush Sr. cut most of it, and the effective date came under Bill Clinton so that Rush Limbaugh could blame it all on him. But
sure,
that just simply doesn't add up.
It's like trying to stop a train. You know, you got to plan a couple of miles ahead to get it stopped, in the same way with this military spending.
I agree. The other thing is this Valerie Plame subject is coming up again. That's the lady that works for the CIA that was outed by Bob Novak, and now two reporters could go to jail who never even reported the story. Yeah. But Bob Novak's not going to get in trouble. And you remember Evans and Novak was on for years. Mr. Evans has died now.
Sure.
But their whole thing was that nothing was off the table. They would talk about anything, and they'd bring up anything. And now Mr. Novak, I don't know if you're aware of this, has announced that anybody that, on CNN that brings up that topic of Valerie Plame, he will take off his microphone and walk off the set. But is anybody going to get him in trouble? No.
No, certainly not.
He's a Republican. And they're not going to bother him.
No, they're not. He's kept his mouth shut this whole time. He's a key player in this whole thing, and we're not going to hear a word from him.
Well, ever. Another thing, this thing that President Bush is playing games with Social Security, it's not going to be much longer. The way it is now, people have a mindset that when you look at an older person, you see a team player. This guy or lady worked and paid into a system, and now they're getting their cut out of it. But after President Bush gets done, the young people are going to look at the older people as parasites, and they're not going to respect them, and it's going to cause more chaos. And
exactly.
I don't see what we're gaining by that at all.
I think you're exactly right on that, Bill. I agree. There's going to be resentment, terrible resentment caused between
and division.
Them. Yes, yes.
Well, and then you know our president is such the wonder boy. He is going to. He's going to revolutionize Social Security. Then he's going to Medicare. He's going to revolutionize that. Then he's going to go to every point in the world and bring democracy. And then I heard Karl Rove is going to have all the Pope's medical records sent to the White House so that he can come up with a cure for the Pope because he's done everything else.
I think he might want to start with our budget deficit.
That'd
first.
Be a good idea. Do you know, have any idea what the budget is for the Heritage Foundation?
Well, I know it's got to be plenty. They are probably maybe the most influential right-wing radical group.
Well, it's $25 million a year.
Mm.
Now, who is going to be able to stand up to something like that? They have got college professors. They got people that write books, that make movies, that just write speeches and articles, and there's going to be no end to it. You know, Bill Clinton made the statement before the tax cuts. He says, okay, maybe we do have a surplus. Maybe we can have a tax cut, but why don't we save Social Security first? Oh, no, we can't do that. And a guy from the Heritage Foundation actually went on CNN talking about Bush is going to reform Social Security, then go to Medicare, and he actually used that term. We're going to save Social Security first, and I had to turn the TV off. I can't take it.
Oh, yeah. You know, the Heritage Foundation recently put in state-of-the-art broadcast studios in their building so that they can build that microphone even bigger, the megaphone even bigger for the right wing.
You'll notice as you listen to Laura Ingraham in our area, we get to hear her twice a day. That is where she broadcasts from, the Heritage Foundation,
yep.
And you'll never hear Laura Ingraham mention anything about where she's broadcasting from for
no,
that reason.
That's right. Hey, Bill, thanks for your call.
Thanks for being on the air, guy.
Good to hear from you, my friend. And speaking of friends, I'm going to go to a person I love and respect. We're going to go and talk to Amanda in Georgia. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, guy. How you doing?
Well, it's good to hear from you.
You mean you want to talk to me?
Absolutely, I want to talk to you. How are you, girl?
I need to clear up a few things.
Be my guest.
Okay. First of all.
Let me say something to you.
Okay.
You don't have to clear up anything to me.
I know that.
All right.
And first of all, Jack isn't dead. My sister's husband dropped dead of a heart attack. So I want to clear that up right off the bat. My husband is not dead. I saw that on your thread. I'm not a freeper. I am a veterans advocate. You know that guy.
Absolutely.
And my positions on Bush have not changed. I am still very much against Bush. But when you are the CEO of a veterans organization and you're under the watchful eye of the IRS, you have to be bipartisan. You have to be.
Sure.
And there was some pretty rough things said on a site called Conservative Underground about Marianne 333. And really rough things said about my daughter-in-law that was murdered. And I marched over to that site, and I took them in hand, and I said, this isn't going to happen. I'm not going to put up with this. We're not the evil demons that you think we are. And somewhere along the line, I gained their respect on veterans issues because I presented information.
Veterans issues are veterans issues. They are American veterans.
They're American veterans, and I don't care what party they belong to.
Exactly right.
And, I mean, when they went into war, and you heard this on my CD, they didn't ask if they were Democrat. They didn't ask if they were Republican. They didn't ask them if they had any party affiliation whatsoever.
You can go through Arlington Cemetery, and it doesn't say Republican or Democrat on a single one of those headstones.
Absolutely. And so some of the posts that were seen, evidently, on CU, conservative, and I didn't have a problem really being there after I got to know some of the people, because I found out that there were a lot of veterans in need on that particular site, which just happened to be a conservative site. Never made any bones about my Christianity. Not to you, not to DU, not to anyone. I never made any bones about it. I always said that I was a Christian. We even talked about me being a PK, a preacher's kid. Somebody at Free Republic evidently has been posting ever since 1999 under my name. Under my name years ago in 1999, I didn't even have an internet connection. I remember the first name I had was Songbird. But then I went into Vet Wife when I got into going up to with Vice President Gore and everything. Who would put out a CD? Who would do the things that I have done and be a freeper? No way.
Amanda, you don't have to defend yourself.
I know that.
The people that know you don't have to defend yourself at all.
I can't believe what they're saying on those sites.
And let me just tell some of the local folks listening right now, there's been a little tiff going on, maybe even more than that, on the Democratic Underground Forum, which is a Democratic forum, and some people have said some things about veterans, which I think they ought not have said. Flame away at me if you want to, but there are people over there doing what they're commanded to do.
Under orders,
and as Amanda said, this is not a partisan issue whatsoever, and she's defended the veterans, and there's nothing wrong with that.
And what actually did happen was, they said, well, you know, she's a moderator over at CU. They asked me 2 days ago, would I moderate the veterans site? I didn't have a problem with that. I'll talk to them, because I'm going to tell you people something, all of you, who, you know, like Guy was just saying about wedge issues. You can't do anything looking on the outside. I've never pretended to be anything but what I was. The first thing I say on there is I'm not a W fan. I'm not a Bush fan.
Well, and you are a veterans advocate.
And I'm a veterans advocate, yeah.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, if these people want to call me a freeper and they want to say this, well, that's fine. But you know what? Those veterans come first to me. I've had 4 deaths in 5 months in this family, and I've just thrown myself into my work maybe too much. But when you start calling the Vietnam veterans baby killers, and you start calling some of the Iraqi veterans Nazis and things like this, that crosses the line. And you know, these are guys I'm going to end up having to take care of, my and my group, when they get home.
Sure.
And all I did as a moderator was post certain articles on there about depleted uranium and Don Rosenblum. Yeah, you get kind of friendly with some of these folks.
Sure.
But I got friendly with people at Democratic Center. They wanted to tombstone me. That's okay.
There's common ground shared.
But I'm going to tell you, people, you can't keep being so polarized. You got to,
we have to talk.
We have to talk.
Amanda, I'm up against a heartbreak at the bottom of the hour. I want to tell you this.
Okay.
You and your opinions and what you do is well respected on this program. Always have been, always will be. I know you are an advocate for veterans. I'm an advocate for you, and will continue to be so.
If I have hurt anyone, I'm sorry, but I can't apologize for defending veterans, no matter what board it's on.
Do your job. Amanda, it's good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
We're going to pause for a break at the bottom of the hour, and we will be right back. Don't go away.
The Guy James Show. Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wing WNOG.
Now, 2004 was Southern and Nissan's biggest year. We sold more new Nissans because we sold them for less. Well, we're going to get bigger in 2005, bigger savings. We will not let any other Nissan dealer take our title as king of Altima value. Don't pay over $20,000 for your all-new 05 Altima. $15,988, that's all you pay. And that's why we say at Sutherland, when the price ends in 88, savings are great. $15,988 loaded. Stereo CD, tilt cruise factory air. Power everywhere. Naples, I'm not kidding. Lehigh Acres, more than fair. When you buy a new Nissan at Sutherland, there's always a happy ending because you always save extra dollars, and that happens every day. The Sutherland Way, smack dab in the middle of Fort Myers, on US 41 south of Bell Tower Shops on Tamiami Trail. Your all-new 05 loaded Altima, $15,988 at Florida's true king of Altima value, Sutherland Nissan today. Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay.
Pins 281356 and 281277. Price after factory rebates and dealer discounts, plus government taxes, finance, stock prep, and emission fees.
Tomorrow's clouds today.
Now, see tomorrow's weather before it happens.
Clouds, even some rain showers.
With True View, only on Wink News.
Tomorrow, don't expect to see any sun.
True View's cutting-edge technology.
Notice how the clouds really roll in and increase.
Lets you see exactly what's coming and when.
Low clouds and fog early in the morning will disappear.
The most advanced technology and certified local meteorologists. TrueView, only on Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader. Wake up to a new morning with Wink News. Patrick Gomer and Stacey Adams get you going with breaking news, weather, and exclusive sky-high traffic. Waking up is hard to do. Wink News makes it easier with your first forecast, your first look at the roads, and breaking news from around the corner and around the world. Wink News this morning, weekdays from 5 to 8, only on Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader.
Experts report that adult-onset diabetes has soared by more than a third in the last 10 years. The most common dental problems of diabetes are dry mouth, tooth decay, periodontal disease, and taste impairment. Dry mouth is when the body doesn't produce enough saliva. A healthy flow of saliva is needed to wash away food particles and cut down on tooth decay. To relieve dry mouth, consider using sugarless gum or mints and take frequent sips of water. Cut down on caffeine and restrict your use of alcohol. Diabetics may also experience taste impairment. The ability to taste sweet foods is diminished. This may influence food choices where patients eat foods very high in sugar and carbohydrate content. This may affect dental and overall health. Be sure to practice good oral hygiene by brushing twice a day, flossing daily, and getting regular dental checkups. Ask your dentist if you have any questions. For the ADA Dental Minute, I'm Dr. Maria Lopez Howell. To find out more about your dental health, visit ADA online at ada.org.
Hey, kid. Over here, inside your radio. Name's Ralph. I'm an energy hog. Hey, if you're gonna waste energy in your home, I'm gonna pig out on it. Anyway, I got a deal for you. There's this new website called energyhog.org. Forget about it. It teaches kids how to get rid of us energy hogs. So you promise not to log on to energyhog.org, and I promise not to eat your radio. Deal?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
To the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Welcome back to the Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic liberal talk show, and proud of it. I am a Democrat. I am liberal. And I wear those badges proudly. I really do. You know, I think people do, as some of our callers and I talk about once in a while, I'm very conservative on some things. And I know a lot of you folks, a lot of you liberal friends of mine are conservative on things as well. But on a lot of social issues, my goodness. if you got a heart and a brain, you know, the Republicans like to say, what was the old saying? I think Winston Churchill might have said it. I'll screw it up. I know I will because I don't have it written down anywhere. If you're young and are not liberal, you don't have a heart. But if you're older and are not a conservative, you don't have a brain. It went that way. I'm awfully close to what I said, but I disagree with that. I think you can have a heart and a brain, and you can be liberal and conservative at the same time on certain issues. I'm conservative on spending and so forth. But I'm liberal on helping take care of folks that need to be taken care of, that need help. And I know a lot of you are as well. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. 479-5540 for all of our friends here locally. I'd like to say hello to my good friend up in Tennessee, Steve Crockett from DemocraticTalkRadio.com. Steve, one of the better writers on the Internet. If you have a chance to stop over to his site and visit some of Steve's articles, you'll be
You'll be impressed. You'll be more than impressed, I promise you. That's DemocraticTalkRadio.com is Steve Crockett. Check out some of his writings. He's a great advocate for the Democratic Party. He was a fine broadcaster, too. Had a liberal talk show, and like many liberal talk shows across the country, didn't receive the kind of support it needed to keep it going. And there's many, well, not that many, but a couple of handfuls, I guess, of Democratic talk radio hosts across the country that are supported by listeners. And we need your help just like they do. www.theguyjamesshow.com. I want to thank everybody that donated to the program last week and all of you who will donate this week. Right? Okay. And let's go back to the phone. We're going to stop on over and talk to Fred in Fort Myers. Hi, Fred.
Guy?
Are you with us, Fred?
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to talk about Social Security. I'm really having a hard time understanding why people have such a problem with... having a choice to take just a portion of that money, and invest it in a better way. I mean, let me preface my call with, I deliver pizza for a living. I don't make a lot of money, but I make smart life choices that let me, I mean, the only benefit I have in my job is a 401k, and I take advantage of that. And, I heard your caller earlier, John, saying, what are they going to do? Put away money every week? Well, that's exactly what I do. I put away a small amount of money every week. And, I'm fairly young. I'm in my early 30s. And by the time I hit retirement, I'm not going to be able to solely rely on that, but it's going to be a big portion of it. I mean, I feel like it's insulting for your government to tell you, we think you're such an idiot. You can't take care of yourself. You need us to take care of you. If I could choose, I would take every penny that goes into Social Security out of my check right now, and I would keep it for myself, and I would add it onto my 401k for my retirement, and I guarantee you I would make a heck of a lot more money off of that money than I would leaving it in Social Security. And I don't understand why people have a problem with giving people a choice. You see what I mean?
Well, I think you shortchange the Social Security program. It's much more than just a retirement program. First of all, they're going to take a lot of money out of the Social Security funds to do this. And we can't afford to take the money out of there. They're talking about a couple of... We got some crosstalk going on here.
No, I'm sorry. I'm at work.
The couple of trillion dollars, where's that going to come from? We're going to put it in the hands of Wall Street, whom I don't trust any farther than I control them.
Well, there's safe investments that you can diversify over a broad amount of companies that, if you look at the market average, it's 9, 10, 11%, which just destroys the return you get on Social Security. I mean, and those are very safe.
It is right now, but what about another 1929? What happens then?
Well, if people look at the great stock market crash of that, all these poor guys who jumped off buildings to their death, instead of doing that, they just would have stayed in the market. Something like 5, 6, 7 years later, they would actually have made money from when they, killed themselves.
Because a lot of them couldn't hang on that long.
There had never been a crash like that before, and they thought it was the end of everything, I'm sure.
Fred, don't get me wrong here. If you continue to do what you're going to do, and if you're diligent about it, and you put your money away like you say you're going to do it, and you do all that, you're probably going to be all right. But, Fred, there's a lot of people that won't do that. And there's not a lot of people that have the discipline, the personal discipline, to do what you're doing. Why did we come up with the Social Security program in the first place?
To take care of people in their old age, but it's so wasteful. I mean, you give money to the government, and they that's the thing they're best at is wasting it, not investing it wisely.
Well, I agree with some of what you say. I don't see anything wrong with having the choice, but I also see a lot wrong with having the government trying to invest your money for it. They certainly haven't done a very good job of investing.
I mean, if people say they were given the choice and they end up keeping that money and they don't invest it, and in their old age they have nothing, aren't there still programs to take care of those people? if someone's in dire straits, there's a program for everyone, you know, even in horrible George Bush's administration.
Who takes care of the widows and the children who've lost the fathers and so on? Who does that? Do you know anybody? I don't. No.
There are programs for people like that, though.
I don't know what they are. I don't know what they are at all. I just think we need the safety net. We need it. It's worked very well. It's worked very well for 70 years, and there's no reason it can't continue to work. It's a matter of trust for me. I do not trust these people.
I don't trust the government with my money.
These people have gone out and run up the greatest deficit in our history, and I do not trust them to invest my money. I just don't. Got to move on, Fred. I thank you for your call.
Okay.
Good to hear from you. Hey, let's go out to a place, a beautiful place in this country. I wonder if it's still so wet out there. Going out to Bruce in Laguna Beach, California. Bruce, is it still raining?
Well, actually, it finally stopped, guys.
Good.
Yeah, we've had it pretty rough out here.
Is your house still sitting where it was before?
Yeah, still dry.
Good.
yeah. But I just wanted to say, I'm a big fan of your shows. I mentioned Washington about a year ago. A lot has happened since then.
Oh yeah.
But I usually listen to you online, but the tape delayed by White Rose Society.
Yes.
But I happened to catch you live today, and I'm glad I did that, so I figured I'd give you a call.
Well, good. I'm glad to have you along with us this afternoon.
Yeah. I'd like to quickly just respond to that young man. Boy, I could tell him a thing or two.
Well, do.
But,
Go right ahead.
he's got a 401k. That's great. That's what that thing is for. You know, just keep putting money in it, invest in the stock market, and if he's fortunate, he'll make some good investments. But Social Security program is not a personal investment program. It's an insurance program. And one-third of it does go to these other programs that the federal government takes care of, whether they're widows or dependents or disabled people. That's all out of Social Security. It's not nowhere else. So if he's going to want the money, you know, for his own investment purposes, that's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad in a way that what Bush is doing, just going after the young people and trying to get them all excited about this so he can get their votes. But, you know, anybody who's got some experience with this knows that this is not the way to do it.
And I might add, there are many, many learned Republicans who are not in favor of this at all.
Oh no, they're backing out. They're just jumping up the ship right now.
Sure.
You're going to see this go away, I think, in a short time. I just wanted to quickly say, we've seen liberal talk radio take off in the year since I met you, and we have to be pretty pleased. But boy, we got to figure out a way to get you on one of these networks.
Well, I'd sure like to do that. We are always working on that, and we've been in contact with some of the folks and all. So you never know. I met you in Washington, didn't you?
Yeah.
Were you there both times?
I think I met you there once. I've gone to a few of these seminars.
Yeah, Bruce and I were at
California. You coming out to the one in Santa Monica?
No, can't make it. But
well, I'll let you know. I'll be there. So I'll tell you what happens there. But off the air, I'll talk to you about a few things. But I just really wanted to say that what's happening now is with this big radio company with CC. And I know it isn't your radio company, so I guess I could mention it off the air. They're doing some things on their own now, and it's no longer there's some weekend programming that they're picking up, and we got to figure out a way to get Guy James distributed a little better.
Well,
but you do make it easy for your people to listen to your show.
Well, thanks, Bruce. I appreciate that, coming from a pro.
Yeah.
Bruce and I met at a conference in Washington, D.C., for Democracy Radio, Inc., and it's an outfit that is trying to promote Democratic Talk Radio. And, we're making some progress across the country.
Yeah. And what do you think this thing, too, about the Armed Forces Radio, especially with our good friend Rush Limbaugh going over to Afghanistan now and bashing the Democrats? that was pretty outrageous in itself.
I can't think of anything more outrageous that's happened in a while. I thought it was disgusting.
Yeah, and his is the only political show that the Armed Forces Radio listens to over in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Right.
They don't get any other alternative.
Nope, they do not. They do not.
We got some work to do, but I just wanted to tell you how much I enjoy listening to your show.
Bruce, thanks so much for your call.
Okay.
Great to hear from you.
Take care.
Yeah, there's a guy that knows the business very well, very well. Hey, let's go over and talk a little bit more about Social Security to Kelly in Huntsville, Alabama. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Guy. How you doing?
Good.
You had a caller earlier that was talking about Social Security, and I don't know how to sum it up, but he was basically, it's my money. You know, why can't I keep it invested?
Sure.
I had 3 points about what he was talking about. One thing is, according to what we know so far, we don't even know all the plan they're talking about, but this isn't like you're going to have like your own account that you get to choose where the funds are invested.
There you go.
It's going to be run, you know, by the government or a combination of the government and Wall Street. And as far as he was talking about, you know, the returns on it, what it's doing now versus what he believes he can do, you know, by investing it supposedly himself, I believe he mentioned something like an 8 or 9% return that he could get. Now, right now, you're getting most of us in T-bonds. We're getting about 4 or 5%. But the cost to manage it, Social Security is the most efficient program in the history of the U.S. government. It costs about 1% to manage it. Now, when you get Wall Street involved, the fees and all the other stuff involved, it's going to cost anywhere from 12% to 30%. So if he's getting 8% return, he's still got a 12 to 30% deficit that he has to make up for.
Kelly, you are so right. And if I could interject something, we all know the graft and corruption that takes place in the military-industrial complex with the money. Imagine when the folks at Wall Street get a hold of a couple of $1 trillion of the public's money.
Oh, yeah, like you say, too. Plus, there's a $2 trillion upfront, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to sock it to us.
Yeah.
But like, I think you mentioned a little bit earlier, too, and a lot of people don't really understand that Social Security is not, it's not just a retirement fund. It's an insurance fund.
Sure is.
And it's for everybody. I mean, if you, say you and your wife are in your mid-40s, you have children, you have a car wreck and die, now obviously you're not going to collect your Social Security because you're no longer with us, but your children, your orphan children, will receive compensation, which you could assume is coming from the funds that the parents paid, you know, their adult working life into it. It's an insurance policy for everybody.
Right. The safety net thing is completely forgotten about. When Bush goes out and talks about this, and he's primarily, as you mentioned, he's primarily trying to indoctrinate the young folks on this and make them think they're going to end up with a bunch of money out of it. The safety net thing of it is never mentioned.
Right, and you know they're doing that on purpose. They're trying to turn young people against old people.
Sure, and absolutely. Well, the young people aren't going to be all that happy when they find out the financial burden of this upon them when it gets to, you know, gets to them. They're not going to be happy at all.
Well, when this debate came up, I never knew that. But, you know, managing a fund like that and the cost of managing it being less than 1%, I mean, that's outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's extremely efficient.
We should be so lucky that all the government programs can be run that cheaply.
No kidding.
Well, the post office, for example.
I just felt like that needed to be pointed out because it seems like there's just an awful lot of, you know, misinformation out there.
Exactly right. Kelly, thanks for your input.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Yeah, you know, the public opinion on this thing is going to be interesting to see how it shakes out, really, as Bush is doing his thing again, going out and talking all around the country, talking as he talks, I don't know. Pretty elementary, usually, when he speaks. People, even though they write things for him, can't seem to say him quite right. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how the public opinion turns out on this, the American public opinion. I've always thought that the American public opinion's, it's like an ocean, and you can't stir it with a teaspoon. You just can't. It takes a big effort to manage and caress and move the American public opinion. So going to be interesting to see what happens. But he's got the power of the press behind him. Make no mistake about that. No mistake whatsoever. Let's go over and talk to Ray in East Haven, Connecticut. Hi, Ray.
Hello, Guy. How you doing today?
Great.
Very good. Hey, you've had some excellent callers, and I could comment on a lot of them, but there is one who is very unique. Bill, a little while ago, had some terrific insights. I agree fully with because I've had them myself. And one of them I want to recall is that he said so many Democrats are overconfident, still assuming that things are going to continue as they have through most of our life, and Democrats are going to be there to ensure that great programs like Medicare and public education and Social Security and a whole slew of others are going to be there forever because, after all, Democrats created them and Democrats protected them, and we're used to having them. But as you and he pointed out, that's not a guarantee anymore because the Republicans have so much control over the government now. So that was a great point. And also, two of your callers since then have, I think, pointed out how Democratic policies promote trust and brotherhood, fellowship, and sisterhood among people, respect for our elders and our juniors, whereas the Republican policies promote selfishness and competition among individuals and classes. So, hey, people, let's fight hard for Democratic policies and Democratic candidates. In that connection, I'd like to pick up on something that you said, Guy, a little earlier about it being hard to be a moderate and easy to be an extremist.
Right.
Well, I agree if you're talking about individuals who aren't running for office. But if you're running for office, it's very hard to be a strong advocate of one side or the other. And it's a lot easier to be a moderate in the sense of trying to persuade everybody that you agree with them. It's a political game for any politician to try to persuade everybody that he agrees with them by not being too obvious a proponent of one extreme or the other extreme.
Well, I don't mean in just the coercion used to try and convince people. I mean in actuality, being an actual moderate or you know, an actual extremist.
Well, it's. Are you saying that it's easy to be extreme?
It's easy to go out on a limb like some of the wackos on the far left and the far right and say, you know, come up with some of these crazy ideas like let's just go just for a second take this Michael Savage, for example, this Michael Wiener, this radio guy. I mean, he's as radical crazy as you can get. That's easy for him. It's easy for him to get out there and spout this hate, and it's much tougher to be a moderate and bring people together. Much tougher.
Right, but politicians who get elected are politicians who persuade the majority of people that they're not at one extreme or the other extreme.
Oh, yeah. I just want to make it clear that I mentioned that in the context of actually being a real moderate and trying to bring people together in civil discourse and actually get things done for the great masses. That's what I meant.
Right. Well, in regards to what Democrats need to do in the future, it sounded from what you were saying at that point that you really thought the Democrats needed to play down their what might be considered the extreme position of being pro-choice, or to play down the position of being pro-gay marriage. Or
no, I don't want to play them down necessarily. I'm just saying we can't run a campaign on those issues. Those are issues. First we got to take care of the masses, and then we have to take care of those issues, because we cannot ever take care of those issues if we don't get our people elected.
Well, Guy, I agree totally with that. But what candidates do you know in this country who run a campaign on choice or on gay equality? They don't run a campaign on those issues, but they
they take a position, and it's only one of many positions. They don't stress that. In fact, they try to avoid it, knowing how it can lose them some votes. But the fact of the matter is, Democrats have been losing elections because they've taken the side of the unpopular ever since the Civil Rights Revolution. And Democrats could easily have had much greater success in this country if instead of siding with the one-tenth who were minorities, they sided with the nine-tenths, as the Republicans did, who were white and middle class. Fact of the matter is, Democrats have been losing because they've taken the position of the minorities as the moral position. And I say, I argue, and I wish you'd help promote this, I argue on my website, liberalslikechrist.org, that the moral position the position the Democrats have taken on abortion, on choice, and on gay equality are the moral positions. And they don't have to apologize and say, well, we don't believe in moral values. Fact is, we do believe in moral values. That's why we support choice for women, and it's the reason why we support equality and justice for gays, meaning that they should be allowed to marry just as well as any other American who's heterosexual in civil marriage.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that at all.
I don't disagree with the issues, but there are two things here. There's the position on the issues and what we should do about them politically. And I think Democrats are making a mistake if they recommend, like Bill Clinton did during the campaign, that Kerry go along with the opposition to gay marriage.
Oh, no. No. I don't advocate that at all.
I like Clinton. I supported Clinton. I have a web page on Clinton that praises him to the high heavens. But I was terribly disappointed with Clinton and any Democrat who takes the position that we should throw gays overboard because it's going to give us more, it's going to gain us some political leverage.
No, do not throw them overboard if they're in our army. I think what I'm trying to say to make it clear, if they're in our Democratic army, they don't necessarily need to be at the vanguard. They need to be suited up. They need to have their weapons. They need to be ready to help us.
Well,
I
think the rest of us ought to make it clear that we believe that as moral people, that we're going to fight for their equality.
We most certainly will.
We're going to fight for choice for women because it's the moral thing to do. Not because it's some prejudice we have because
nope.
They're in our group, but it's because it's the moral thing, just as well as for the same reason we fought for civil rights for blacks.
Exactly. Ray, I got a hard break coming up for the news at the top of the hour.
Thank you very much.
Remember,
liberalslikechrist.org.
I thank you for your wisdom.
Great.
Always good to talk to Ray. You're listening to The Guy James Show and Wake WNOG 1240, 1270. AM in Fort Myers and Naples, Florida. We'll be back right after the news, and we've got how to become a really good Republican. We're going to have classes afterwards, and maybe you can help with that. We'll be back, and don't go anywhere. And you folks on the phone, hang there. We'll be right back.
Restoring the liberal media, The Guy James Show.
West Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
A strangler. Dennis Rader is a 59-year-old city employee. He's a scout leader and president of this church.
Everyone should learn from this what the FBI and other experts have been saying for 20 years now. These people blend in with society. They don't crawl out from under a rock. They don't look like monsters.
Former FBI profiler Candace DeLong, and we're learning more about the case.
Well, one of the big breaks for the Wichita police, we've learned, came when Dennis Rader's adult daughter went to the police and gave them DNA.
Fox's Carol McKinley in Wichita, Kansas. In other news, Syria denies it's behind the Tel Aviv nightclub bombing that killed four Israelis. The homicide bombing breaks an informal truce between Israel and the new Palestinian leadership. A terror group called Islamic Jihad claiming responsibility for that attack. Fox News, we report you this hour.
Have a seat, Mr. Jones. The doctor will see you in a moment.
Okay, thanks.
Well, Mr. Jones, you did quite a number on your knee.
I guess I shouldn't have overdone it. How bad is it?
You are going to need surgery on that knee right away. After the surgery, until you're back on your feet again, you will need competent professionals to nurse you back to health.
Doctor, should I call Dial a Nurse again?
It's really up to you, Mr. Jones.
What do you think, Doctor?
Well, if it were me, I would certainly use Dial-A-Nurse. They took care of my mother when she needed care. They're well-trained, highly screened, very compassionate. If I'd trust Dial-A-Nurse with my mother, I certainly would recommend them to my patients.
Dial-A-Nurse, locally owned and operated for over 25 years. Call today for a free initial assessment. We tailor our nurses to meet your needs. Call Dial-A-Nurse, 434-8000. That's Dial-A-Nurse, 434-8000.
100 trucks by February 28th. One location.
Gulf Coast Dodge. This is it. The final days of the Size Matters truck event. Gulf Coast Dodge must sell 100 trucks by month's end. Save like never before on brand new 05 Dodge Rams, Dakotas, Durangos, and more. If you're even thinking about a new truck, get to Gulf Coast Dodge now.
$1 down delivers. Make no payments for 6 months.
Yes, drive a truck for a buck at Gulf Coast Dodge, but you only have till month's end through Monday. Rams, Dakotas, Durangos. At prices too low to mention. Gulf Coast Dodge pays $1,000 more than your trade is worth, and you make no payments for a full 6 months. Plus, with any purchase, jump into our cash machine filled with $2,500 cash.
100 trucks by February 28th. One location.
Gulf Coast Dodge. Southwest Florida's number one Dodge dealer, just 2 miles south of the Bell Tower. On select models with approved credit, plus tax, tag, and title. See dealer for details.
Are you looking for a great new restaurant to try? Well, Naples' best-kept secret is Trattoria Dino Ristorante of Airport Road and 41 in the Courthouse Shadows Plaza. Dino's Ristorante serves nothing but the best global Italian, all of which is made in-house from scratch. You'll find a worldwide wine list at $22 a bottle on top of happy hours served year-round from 4 to 6 p.m. at the bar and your table. For information on Dino's next wine tasting dinner, call them today at 732-7300. That's 732-7300. Are you looking for someone to cater your wedding, special event, or business function? Trattoria Dino can turn a special event into a memorable one. Don't just settle for anyone. Let Trattoria Dino show you, with free consultation, what they can do for you. For more information or dinner reservations, call Trattoria Dino at 732-7300. 732-7300. Trattoria Dino Ristorante, where locals find themselves at home.
James here with you for the last hour of the Guy James Show this evening. My goodness, 2 hours and 5 minutes gone in the program already. Where does the time go? Call us. If you don't call me, I'm going to call you. We got a lot of phone numbers, you know. We'll just start dialing the phone. Ron, if they don't light up that phone board, you just start dialing. I don't care. Just get them on the phone. I don't care who they are. See if you can get the White House. I do want to talk to them. We got a couple of things I'd love to say to them. Hey, we appreciate having you along with us this evening. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. We're rolling right along here this evening. Got studio audience in here. We got the producer in here. We got Ron running the board. It's been a smooth evening, and I'd like to thank the folks here at Wink WNOG for getting our audio problems straightened out. I know it was a little rough on them last week, but everything sounded pretty good this week, and it's good to have a smooth-running machine tonight. We do appreciate that. And also, I do want to remind you that the reason that this show is on the air is because we buy this time, and we need your help to buy this time.
We're not rich folks around here, and none of you need to be rich folks if you all just throw in a little bit. If everybody that listens to this program would throw in a buck or $5, oh, well, if everybody that listens to it, we'd have enough money to be on primetime. You know what I mean? So do help us out. We appreciate your help, and I want to mention a few folks right now. David Groggins out in Eureka, California. Ralph Edmondson in St. Louis, Missouri. Elaine Miller in Newton, Iowa. Richard McCarthy in Naples, Florida. Robert and Sable Wright down in up in Durham, North Carolina. Jerry and Judy Galinsky in Naples. Martin and Michelle Kazar in Chicago. William Sherrow in Syracuse, New York. John Traub, Cape Coral, Florida. John Coolidge, one of my favorite guys, got a donkey tattoo on his shoulder. Yeah, he does. He's that good of a Democrat. He's from Portland, Maine. Bill Beaumont, love to hear from Bill. Gene Legg in Valley City, North Dakota. Carolyn Wyatt from Madison, Wisconsin. Danielle Mosher from Bethesda, Maryland. William Tuddenham from Naples, Florida. The Collier County Democratic Club, the Bonita Springs Democratic Club. Tony Lombardo, Earl Smith, and all the members of the Greater Fort Myers Democratic Club. A huge thank you to all of you folks. If you care to donate to the program, you can go to www.theguyjamesshow.com, or let me give you this address. I'm going to give you 3 seconds to grab your pen. You got your pen right there, don't you? 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135. Love to have your participation. Thank you to all of you folks that help keep this program on the air. A big, big thank you. Let's go to the phones here. Before I get started again, I got lots of things to talk about, and I know you do too. So let's run on over and talk to Steve in Fort Myers. Hi, Steve. You with us, Steve?
Yes, Guy, I'm here.
Okay, what's on your mind, my friend?
Well, Guy, I heard the discussion earlier about Social Security that you were having, and anybody who believes that privatization is a good thing might want to do a little research on their own. This is not a new thing. It has been tried in Chile, failed, tried in Sweden, failed, tried in Bolivia, and Great Britain, failed each time. Plus, since the current administration came in, my IRA took as much as a 60% hit, and even after my contributions for the last 4 years and the growth in the stock market during the last year, I'm still down over 10%. If I had had to retire during that time, I would have taken a big, big chunk of loss on my retirement income if I was strictly into privatization.
But, Steve, let's be fair here. We're nothing if not fair on this program. You said it failed in Sweden, right?
Yep.
It failed in Chile.
Yep.
Where else?
Bolivia and Great Britain.
Okay. The big problem with what you say there is, with your logic there is, those countries didn't have George Bush running this.
Well, that's true.
You see, we have the advantage there. Just wanted everybody to know.
And the advantage is exactly what?
I think you know.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
George's single focus on his ideas severely limits discussion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Boy, I tell you, wasn't he great overseas this week?
I've been checking out the web, and I check into BBC and also CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, through their websites, and the opinions expressed there are certainly different than what has been expressed in the local media about George's visit.
Oh, absolutely. And did you hear that flap about he was going to have that town meeting at that little town, where is it, Mirzig or whatever, in Germany?
Uh-huh.
And end up bailing out because they wouldn't let him have scripted questions like they did in Paris?
Right.
Yeah. That's our president. Can't even take questions from college kids and answer them.
Right.
Wow. It's great to hear from you, Stevie.
Also, on the Social Security issue, state of Florida went to a similar situation. State of Florida is a testing ground for programs that, that Georgia's going to introduce nationally.
I wonder why.
So the state of Florida, for its employees, went to the option of staying with the state retirement program or having private investment through the mutual funds that they chose here a couple of years ago. Because Lydia and I had the Social Security availability that we knew we had a guaranteed income coming in on our retirement, the minimal retirement provided by the state of Florida, we figured, okay, we'll try the optional approach and do the investment. I just checked it out on the website, and after 2 years, it would cost me $3,000. To buy back into the guaranteed retirement program because the privatization account has lost so much money.
Oh, ouch. Ouch.
So it's just every example that privatization is superior just goes down the tubes. Plus, the big thing that, that people don't seem to be talking about is I fail to see how this is going to overcome the Social Security shortfall. It does absolutely nothing to make up the monies that are needed to fulfill the Social Security promise at this point.
Yeah. Well, Steve, you're exactly right. You bring up some good points. But I still don't want to let go of the fact that we were heavily reminded during the 2000 election that this is the first president we've ever had with a master's in business administration. And so, you know, a lot of folks feel real comfortable with having him, give us facts and figures and telling us what to do with our money.
We saw his good management skills with Harkin Oil.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, he has virtually bankrupted everything he's ever touched, including the state of Texas.
Yep, that's exactly right. Yeah, he has not the Midas touch, but the, what would you call it, exact opposite of the Midas touch, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, thanks so much for calling.
It's great to hear from you. And glad you're on the air.
Thank you, Steve. You know, that trip to Europe this year, this week, what a joke. The difference between the American press and the foreign press in that is night and day. I couldn't believe it when I started reading papers from overseas, their take on it and what it was here. And I'm so disappointed in our press right now. I don't know what to say. And, you know, people I've trusted all my life, and newspapers and TV and radio. You know, we would really do well to remember that the hatred and mistrust the rest of the world has toward America right now didn't just happen out of the blue. It was the result of a concentrated effort by Bush and his cabal to alienate almost every country in the world on just about every issue. I don't care what it is. The environment, war, you know. If Bush was half as good at building strong alliances as he is at destroying our relationship with other countries, we wouldn't have this terrible mess we're experiencing right now. Do remember that about this president. God, I when he goes overseas, I start to worry. I really start to worry. You know what I'm talking about. Let's go to Brandon in Fort Myers. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, Guy. Thanks for taking my call. Great show tonight.
Thank you, sir.
You know, I see a fundamental flaw in Bush's philosophy, you know, seeing with the war in Iraq. And you know, his ideology is that all human beings want to be free. And I tend to disagree with that in the sense that if that were the case, you know, the Hitlers and the Stalins, they wouldn't have come to power as easily as they did, you know, Castro and things of that nature. And it's also shown indicatively tonight on your show with people calling in and talking about Social Security being the safety net and an insurance policy. But if they wanted to be free, they'd take care of it themselves and not expect the government to worry about retirement or worry about you know, if I die, what's going to happen to my kids? That's not the government's job.
It's not the government's money either. It's their money that they put away in a Social Security fund.
Exactly why it should be privatized, no? If it's your money, it's your money. No one else should touch it.
All right, so you think it never should have been started in the first place?
Right. I first think it should never have been started in the first place. And
so 70 years of the most successful government program we've ever had never should have started.
Right. And I'm 19, so there's a chance that I won't live to 62 or whatever the age is that I might start collecting. So therefore, I'll be having money taken out of my paycheck my entire life and never see one dime of it.
Brendan, everybody that ever drew a Social Security check had that thought run through their head. I have. Everybody I know. Every guy drawing a Social Security check right today thought, gee whiz, I'm putting money in there and I may never get it. Everybody.
Well, what's the sense in that?
What do you mean, what's the sense in that? Has anybody been denied their Social Security? Do you know anybody that put money in there and hasn't gotten it out?
If they died before the age?
That's how it works. You see, we work in a society.
Right.
We live in a society, a community, where we have a social obligation, if you will. I know Republicans don't believe that, but Democrats do. We have a social obligation to help take care of one another. And if you don't have an obligation, a sense of obligation to help take care of one another, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, there's you can't teach that. You either know right or wrong, and you know it's right to help those that are disadvantaged or help those that might need some help. You know, if you invest your money and you die, are you going to get it in the new program?
In a privatization setting?
Yeah.
Well, that's my choice. It wasn't taken from me. I put it where I wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can leave it to my kids. I can't leave Social Security to my kids.
All right. So you don't want that money taken from you. Do you want your taxes taken from you?
Obviously not, but
do you like to drive on the roads we have?
Right. Well, I'm a big fan of the fair tax. More so than income tax.
And,
you know,
and what is a fair tax?
As far as abolishment of income tax and purely a sales tax. I believe they've been talking about it for a while, and apparently a 23% sales tax would promote savings in the United States.
So we got a guy out here making $8 an hour, struggling to keep his family going, and he's going to pay 23% sales tax. And we got the guy living up the road on, Gulf Drive down in Naples, making $6 million a year. Do you think the 23% sales tax, as compared to the guy with the $8 an hour, do you think that's fair?
Well, the guy in Naples will probably be buying Jaguars and large houses and things of that nature. So he will be end up paying more taxes than the one making $8 an hour. And I'm not going to sit here and feel bad for someone that makes $8 an hour because I'm 19 and make far more than $8 an hour.
Well, congratulations, but there's a lot of...
The point is, it's no one's responsibility to take care of this gentleman who's only making $8.
No, the point is that you've got no social obligation to the other people in this country. The point is that you are a selfish Republican, just like everybody that's a Republican. When it comes down to it, you believe in taking care of you, and it's a basic difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. As I have always said, the Democratic Party is the we party and the Republican is the me party, and if you want to be out for you and you alone, you go right ahead and do that, my friend. But that's unconscionable in this world. Absolutely unconscionable. You're 19 years old, my friend. You have got a lot to learn. A lot to learn. God. But let me say that caller right there, even though he says he's 19 years old, is the personification of your Republican today. Me, 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 me. I will think about me. To hell with you. To hell with the people across the street that got three kids and working two jobs and trying to get them to hell with everybody. That is the Republican philosophy. To hell with everybody except me. I don't care to even associate with people like that. I will not associate with people like that. I have no friends like that. I would not have any friends like that. Therefore, I do not have any close Republican friends because, damn it, they're out for me, and that's all. You want to know what the start... Let's take away all the fluff. Let's take away all the trimmings. There it is, right there. He spelled it out for you. Me, me, me. Oh, God. That makes me sick. It just makes me sick to think about half of Americans think like that. I hope to God all Republicans... Now, I know all Republicans don't think that way. I know some of them are compassionate people that have been bamboozled by the rhetoric and crap they hear on the right-wing radio and so forth. I know that. But there's a significant number of people in the Republican Party that are out for me. Me. You know when you've stood in line for an hour to get into the movies and someone crowds in front? 9 times out of 10, that's a Republican. You know when you've been waiting in a line at the restaurant to get in and someone sneaks in front of you and gets in? It's a Republican. Me. Me. You can take your me and you... Well, let's, I tell you, we Democrats, and I'm going to get to the phone in just a few seconds. We keep talking about what the Democrats have got to do to get back into power. And after listening to that last call, I think most of you will agree with me. It's absolutely essential. It's critical. It's absolutely imperative that the Democrats need to get back in power to run this country. And there's no need for the Democrats to reinvent the light bulb just because we lost a couple of elections. You know, I keep hearing we got to do this and we maybe got to do that. And I sense a feeling of panic among many of my liberal friends. But I want to ask all of you to take a deep breath and relax a little bit. The solution to all of this is very simple, really. As you hear me constantly preaching lately, the answer to this whole problem is gaining back what we've lost in the media. Democratic talk radio is number one on the list, and then we've got to work on TV and the print media as well. I'm not saying we need to dominate either one, but rather just even the playing field a little bit. There's no doubt in my mind that if we have a genuine, fair, and balanced media, the outcome of the political wars in this country will be heavily slanted toward our Democratic Party ideology. Why? Because the choice between our goals for America and theirs is really no contest. You just heard that. Ours is the goal of working toward the future with a mindful eye on the past. Theirs is a message of regression. They're the party of regression. But their message is of regression, which would take us back to the robber baron days. We just have to make sure our message is heard. That's the problem, and I still don't think enough Democratic heavyweights are on board with me on this. What I'm hearing from the powers that be in the party is, yeah, sure, we'll work on it, but we've got bigger fish to fry. No, sir, Democratic talk radio is the big fish. With all the surveys and polls that have been done in this subject, I can't imagine why our party leaders aren't more serious about it. Instead, they're wanting to turn the party upside down in an effort to come up with a winning combination. We don't need any earth-shaking changes right now. We need to stay the course, but use a bigger megaphone. That's all. Oh, sure, we need to tweak things a little bit here and there, but nothing really major is needed. The Democratic message has been great for America in the past and is more than ready to take us well into the future. Because working for the people will always work. Just don't become overly alarmed because we temporarily lost ground to the Republicans. Their current policies and beliefs will go the way of the Edsel and the Pet Rock and the hula hoop. It's only a matter of time. You know, when you stop and think about it, defeat, which we've been through recently, defeat, just like victory, is a passing phenomenon in politics. Our battle for our beliefs and ideals have to go on, and I mean to pursue them. You join me. You stay with me. And if enough of you do that, we'll be back on top before you know it. Because we must. We absolutely must. Let's go to Juanita in Winter Haven. Hi, Juanita.
Hello there.
Great to hear from you, my dear.
Hear, hear. I'm agreeing with what you're saying.
Well, thank you.
that guy's very naive. And you never know what will happen to you, you know. Before it's over, just because he's young doesn't mean some could
they always know what's going to happen to him. They got it all planned out. It's all going to turn out perfect. Yeah.
I wanted to tell you that in the New York Times they had an article, and I can't find the whole article, but He's got a new lobbyist that's going to be going out with him. I don't know if he's going out with him on, you know, but he's going to be out snuffing. Have you heard about it?
No.
Well, he's 9 years old. He's some kind of whiz kid. He knows all about the government. And I believe they said he was on Jay Leno's show. I think he's the one that knew all the presidents and everything. And he's going to be out snuffing for the president's Social Security plan.
Well,
this is a real article. I mean, this
well,
is not
Well, Juanita,
bad.
Let's face it here, Juanita. The 9-year-old's got to know more about it than George Bush knows about it. Let's be real here.
He probably does.
Sure he does. You know he does.
If it's the one I saw, he's pretty smart.
Yeah, well, then he definitely got the advantage over George. You should challenge him to a chess match once to see what happens.
And, you know, the movie, this is something else. The movie, it's one that's been nominated for an Academy Award. In Sideways, I haven't seen it, but somewhere they, somebody substituted somebody's name for a curse word.
Oh.
It starts with A.
Oh.
And they said, "You're an Ashcroft." No, you're an Ashcroft. This has actually happened.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I missed that. I'm not much of a movie guy. I'm cheap.
Well, I don't go out to them either.
I got to wait till they come out in the
right.
Video store and then rent them, you know.
Right. But anyway, and I tell you, sometimes I get very encouraged. I have a lot of faith, and I believe God is in all of this. And but sometimes I do get scared thinking what could happen, you know, before it's all over.
Well, that's right, and I worry about the future of this country when they're in the hands of people like this. I do.
Because Social Security's helped a lot of people. I have a son who's on young he's a young disability, and he worked so hard all of his life, and I was so proud of him, but he just worked himself half to death. And so you never know. I mean, he's a young guy, and you never know what could happen. And there really isn't anything to help adults unless you're considered to be disabled, at least here in Florida. I don't know about
that. Well, that's right. And he
was without any funds for like 3 years.
Hmm.
And he and I was living on my Social Security.
Wow.
And
yeah, and what if you didn't have it? I wonder if that guy that called and talked like that, I wonder if he's got a grandmother.
Well, he doesn't seem to care about the guy that makes $8 an hour because he doesn't make as much as he does.
That's right.
And a lot of people are making less than $8 an hour.
Yes, that's right. But they don't count.
And I just want to tell you one more thing I happened to see a while ago, Ann Coulter.
it gives me a
You know what she said? That old Arab, Helen Thomas, is racially menacing to the president.
Yes, she did. She called Helen Thomas that old Arab. Yeah.
Well, she is Lebanese, but still, it's just, you know, she didn't mean it as a compliment.
Can you imagine if, I don't even want to go there, if one of the right-wing or left-wing people got up and said something the opposite of that, it'd have been news.
Well, yeah, somebody wrote an article in Vanity Fair and said, what if somebody said that old Jew so-and-so?
Yeah, exactly right.
You know.
Yeah. Hey, Juanita, we got a break for news. We got a break for an interview.
Thank you for letting me talk. And
well, thank you for calling.
You have a good evening. Oh, what is your email address?
www.theguyjamesshow.com.
The Guy James has to be the.
The Guy James Show.
Yeah, I have an article I want to send you from the.
Please do.
Australian paper.
It's Guy James at theguyjamesshow.com.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Hey, don't go anywhere. You're on the phone. We got the board all lit up here. People want to get their 2 cents worth in. I'm going to let you do that. When I come back after this break, we're gonna do this thing that I promised everybody because I got people hounding me over it, how to become a really good Republican. We're gonna do this in lieu of Republican love tonight. You like this even better, I think. Well, maybe not, but anyway, how to become a really good Republican. We're going to give you, let me see, what do we got here? Eight good ways to become a really good Republican. We'll be right back after the break. Don't go anywhere.
A Democrat and proud of it. Guy James.
Official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
Now, when you talk trucks, it's hard to talk about the all-new Nissan Titan without using words like powerful, beautiful, comfortable, rugged, tough, sturdy, and that's why every day people pay $25 to $30K. Sutherland Nissan in 2004 sold more new Nissans than ever before. We're going to get bigger in 2005 because at Sutherland, you can drive home your big, bad, bodacious V8 Titan King Cab XE. $18,988. Are you kidding me? Loaded stereo CD.
Sorry about that, man.
18.
You're safe now.
You listen, Dennis, I'm talking to you. If there was ever a real steal a truck deal, this is it. Your all new rock solid loaded V8 Titan King Cab XE, $18,988. Waiting for you right now. Smack dab in the middle of Fort Myers on US 41 south of Bell Tower Shops on Tamiami Trail. New Titan V8 King Cab XE, $18,988 at Sutherland Nissan today. Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay.
VINs 520-497-519-889. Price after factory rebates and dealer discounts plus government taxes, finance, stock prep, and emission fees.
Tomorrow's clouds today.
Now, see tomorrow's weather before it happens.
Clouds, even some rain showers.
With TrueView, only on Wink News.
Tomorrow, don't expect to see any sun.
TrueView's cutting-edge technology.
Notice how the clouds really roll in and increase.
Lets you see exactly what's coming and when.
Low clouds and fog early in the morning will dissipate.
The most advanced technology and certified local meteorologists. TrueView, only on Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader. Wake up to a new morning with Wink News. Patrick Gomer and Stacey Adams get you going with breaking news, weather, and exclusive Sky Eye traffic. Waking up is hard to do. Wink News makes it easier with your first forecast, your first look at the roads, and breaking news from around the corner and around the world. Wink News this morning, weekdays from 5 to 8, only on Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader.
Dear Beth, I have so much to say to you, and this seems the only way to do it. Maybe you can check your email from heaven. You probably don't remember me, but my name is Stacy. I was behind you the other night, and I stopped when I saw the smoke. At first, I couldn't move, but then I found a strength I didn't know I had. I reached into the broken window, touched your wrist, and found a faint pulse. You weren't breathing. As I touched your neck, your head moved, and you gasped softly for air. Thank God, I thought. She's alive. There's a chance. I was holding your head in my hands and softly stroking your hair and had a million things spinning in my head. God, she's just a young girl, I thought. You opened your eyes for merely moments. I'm here with you. I'm not leaving you. Help is on the way. Then your eyes closed. Come on, fight, I said. And I knew you were trying.
But Beth Hoyme did not survive her encounter with a drunk driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
In Lancaster, a little league coach gets his team to the big game.
In Ventura, a volunteer firefighter orders herself out of bed at 4 a.m.
In Peoria, a CPA joins the PTA.
In Nashville, an aspiring songwriter joins the Naval Reserve.
People across America are giving back to their community and their country. The Naval Reserve is
back after this.
Among our ranks. Together we will build a better world. Call 1-800-USA-USNR or go to NavalReserve.com. Naval Reserve, stay strong.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
All righty then. I've been promising you I was going to do this all evening. I sat down and I wanted to help out our Republican friends. Some of them need some ideas. They need some fresh ideas on what they can do to become a good Republican. So I sat down with pen in hand and thought this out. I thought this out for days and days and days, what it takes to become a really good Republican. Some of you folks aren't really good Republicans. You're just kind of like on the fringes, maybe a half... Well, a halfway Republican. But if you listen and follow to what I'm about to tell you, you can become a real Republican. And boy, those are the good ones. If you really want to become a good Republican, there's a few things you need to understand. And if you already are a Republican, then you know what I'm about to tell you is absolutely true. Number one, first of all, do whatever you're told and stop thinking for yourself. Listen to Limbaugh and Hannity every single day and repeat whatever they say. Real Republicans don't ever show any signs of individuality. It just wouldn't be normal. So do what you are told. Number two, be sure and look down your nose at anyone different than yourself. This is important. Hate everyone who isn't white, but at least act nice to them when they're around. But behind their back, just hate them. I mean, hate them. You know these minorities are going to take over the country someday, and they're just going to absolutely ruin it. So keep that in mind. That's number two. That's important if you're going to be a really big... And number three, this one's big now. Join a really big church. I mean a big one. One of those, kind of like that Liberty Baptist Church, Jerry Falwell's up in, what is it, Lynchburg, Virginia. The bigger the better, because then you can put the heat on politicians to get them to get rid of public schools and make the kids go to their really big church schools and get a proper indoctrination into what Falwell and Robertson and James Dobson think is good for the country. You need to do that. Now, they have a big church, one of the really big ones. Number four. To be a really good Republican, you need to hate Social Security and any other social program. And by golly, we just had one show that. It's your money. It's your money. And why should a dime of it go toward helping those damned old people who didn't make enough on minimum wage to take care of themselves in their old age? Hell, they can carry groceries, can't they? And if they have to go out and round up a few shopping carts in the grocery parking lots, they can do it until they're at least 85. I saw one do it the other day. And those social programs for the kids, screw them. Kids can start working around the age of 6 or so. You know, if the Chinese can start them working at that age, making cheap junk to sell at Walmart, there's no reason why we can't do that here, too. Number five, to be a really good Republican, you need to get yourself a pickup truck. You know, one of those ones with the huge tires about 5 feet off the ground with a gun rack in the back window and a Confederate flag flying from a 10-foot flagpole mounted in the bed of the truck. And please note that the bigger the Confederate flag, the better Republican that you'll be. And don't forget to get a dozen or so of those Made in China Support Our Troop magnetic ribbons and put them all over the truck. All of your fellow Republicans will think you're a super patriot if you do that. Number six, don't question what your Republican leaders tell you. Don't ever do that. If George Bush or Condi Rice says something, take it to the bank. If Rummy or Cheney swears it true, then there is no chance they could be lying. None. After all, Rush and Hannity and Fox have always told you that these folks' word is as good as gold, so it must be true. Remember, questioning a Republican administration is very unpatriotic. Very unpatriotic. Number seven, as much as you can, completely ignore what's going on in the world. You've been assured that all is well in Afghanistan and Iraq and that Mr. Bush has Iran and Syria and North Korea well under control. No problem there. And, minor problems in places like the Sudan don't matter at all. After all, those Sudanese people are not white, and who knows where the Sudan is anyway. And besides that, they don't have any significant amount of oil, so screw them, too. Number eight, this one is important, and I hope a lot of you have already done this, and I hope a lot more of you will. Move to a gated community in the suburbs. You won't have to put up with any of that damn culture that the liberals are always talking about. And since there will only be white people behind the gates in your community, you won't have to worry about crime because everybody knows white people don't commit crimes. Well, except for that Wall Street insider trading stuff and raping their stockholders of $100 million if they're CEOs and such, except for that. But then that kind of crime's okay. It's those dark-skinned people who steal milk down at 7-Eleven. They're the real criminals. So if you live by these suggestions, you will be a very, very fine Republican. You'll fit right in with 99% of them. And after all, isn't fitting in a really great Republican value? Ah, yeah, I get excited. You know, I had a hair stand up in the back of my neck when I got done writing this because I thought, man, there's people going to hear this, and they're going to do this, and there are going to be some damn good Republicans around. There's already quite a few of them. I want you to know that. Ooh, yes, there's quite a few of them. Let's go to Connie in Cape Coral. Hi, Connie.
How are you, Guy?
Great.
well, I just really was ticked off by that poor 19-year-old who really doesn't have a clue yet how much in mind control he's being guided by the people that he's listening to on radio, like
oh,
the big Russian Hannity.
You spotted that, did you?
Oh, God, Tokyo Rose Rush and wannabe Hannity.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I call him. You know, he wants to be Rush Limbaugh in his dreams. I love, you know, hearing you talk about them because I really do agree. I couldn't agree with you more that getting a strong presence on the radio and then back in the media, we don't have a presence in the media at all anymore. And a book that I really, really love is The Republican Noise Machine by David Brock.
Oh, yeah.
That will spell it out for anybody who has any question about us having a strong presence in the media, that it isn't so and that we've been hijacked by the right-wing republic. And it'll talk about the whole pattern and how that came about, you know, pretty much beginning around the 40s.
Are you familiar with David's website?
No, I have to go to it. As a matter of fact,
Media Matters, MediaMatters.com.
Oh, is that him? I've heard of that website.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. I will definitely visit that tonight. Thank you. And is it the group, I don't know their new name, but is it Dysinfopia? It has a new Dysinfopedia?
Yes.
And they have a new website name now. And if you search on their website, they have a whole series under propaganda that is so fascinating to read that if anybody's concerned that we're talking, you know, blowing smoke, they should go and listen with a clear, you know, clear ear and a clear eye. Take a look at what propaganda actually consists of, and they will find out that every day they listen to talk radio, they're being fed this, you know, in massive quantities because it's a form of mind control, and it feeds into, you know, the ego. I mean, it's such a studied thing that they do. It's so carefully crafted, and I find it hard to believe that people can just you know, call up and say, "Oh, Rush, ditto, this, that, and the other." There, I can't believe so many people can be led by the nose.
Oh yeah, that really concerns me.
It concerns me, too, because I wonder about, you know, people. I think that it appeals to the ego. See, Rush talks they've discerned exactly what people are lacking in their lives. And, you know, we do have a great deal of people who are very self-interested, self-motivated. We've raised a whole culture, you know, us baby boomers have raised a whole culture of children who are very egocentric.
And you know, you're right. Connie, that's an important point. These people need to learn lessons from the past and apply that knowledge to the future. You know, we know that World War II didn't begin in 1939 or 1941, but it started in the 20s and the 30s when people who should have known better persuaded themselves that they were not their brother's keeper.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's a recipe for disaster right now.
Exactly. And we have to be so careful because we don't. What they fail to realize is that there is a conscious destruction of the middle class. There is a conscious destruction of our economy so that our dollar will deflate. I see that we're probably going to end up with another Great Depression where people will lose their jobs. There will be no middle class. There will be no support for anybody who we've come to depend upon so many of these things. You know, Medicare, insurance, medicine. They won't be affordable by anyone, housing. There won't be jobs. You'll end up with a whole group of people who will have to go into the service, into the army, in order to protect our country, in order to find a way to feed their family, in order to take, play into the hands of Karl Rove and that plan for the new America?
Progress for a new America.
Progress
century.
For a new America, and that is the scariest website of all.
Well, yeah, that's George Orwell would love that one. Connie, thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Guy. Thank you for what you do for us.
Thank you. You know, and Connie points out once again, you know, the Republican creed is that America is best when people are interested in themselves. That's the creed of the Republican Party. You know, we Democrats know, however, that America is better when we're based on the common interest. That's when America is best. Not when we're out for ourselves. 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 God. Let's go to Scotch in Naples. Hi, Scotch.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
You know, I don't know if you mentioned it or not, but you know, you lost a leader of the Democratic Party up in Charlotte County.
I don't know anything. I don't know anybody in Charlotte County.
You don't know Jan O'Rourke?
No.
Yeah, she knew you. Anyway, I just thought that you probably knew her, and she got killed the other day.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, her brother stabbed her.
No, I didn't know
that. Yeah, I just thought, I was kind of surprised you didn't mention it.
No, I didn't know it. I really didn't know it. Was it in our paper?
It was in the news press. Of course, it was big up here, and I knew her. As a matter of fact, I was at dinner with her one time, and the only time in my life a dog ever bit me. And the dog, it wasn't her dog, but it belonged to a guy who worked for the World Bank. And I hate bankers, and I think that dog knew it.
What was it? You know the old saying, what was it? Was it really Harry Truman that said that?
Wow.
Now, bankers, there's a bunch of thieves. They'll only loan you money when you can prove you don't need it.
Oh, that's been said a lot of times, but that was something else I heard you say a while ago, you know, about what's going to happen when China doesn't buy our bombs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the one thing that people do not understand. For instance, you probably don't know what happens to the money supply when China buys those bonds.
No, what happens to it?
It just, the money, worldwide money supply goes out of existence for that amount, but it doesn't affect the money supply in this country. But the Chinese, when they buy it with American dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever they buy that, they always buy it from the Federal Reserve. When the Federal Reserve buys the bonds, they create money, and when they sell them, the money goes out of existence.
So it doesn't make any difference no matter how many bonds we sell to the Chinese or the Japanese?
Well, it's just the fact that we owe them the money, and what if they say, okay, pay up?
Exactly.
That's where we're at. But the big question is, why are we paying interest on our own credit?
Don't you think if things continue to go the way they will say pay up?
Of course they will, and I think our leaders and the people controlling the money have been looking for this for a long time, and they've been working up to it. I definitely believe they caused the crash in 29, and they're causing this because they can control you better. You will be dependent on the government then, and once you're dependent on the government, they can control you.
Well, I wonder if they completely bust us. I wonder how the government will be able to help us.
What they'll be doing is the whole world, I think, the way I see it, the whole world will be the utopian egalitarian that the liberals want. And our wealth will be distributed throughout the world, and we'll all be equally poor. And I think that's the way that they're looking at things now.
World's never been equally poor.
Pardon me?
The world has never been equally poor.
It hasn't been, but it will be, because if you got just a few people controlling it, then they can go out and take the money from you like they did on the Great War on Poverty. If all the money those guys took from the people to give to the people that needed it, if the people got an equal amount, they would have gotten $30,000 a year. A family of five would have gotten, $150,000, but they didn't get it, so there was a rake-off somewhere. And that's the problem with, what I see, the liberal outlook. Most of the money doesn't go to the people it's supposed to help. It goes to Washington, D.C.
And Washington, D.C. does what with it?
Whatever they want. But most of it, they buy the limousines, and they live good.
And it's the liberals that do this?
Well, it was under Johnson that had the big war on poverty.
Now, I'll be the first to admit that Lyndon Johnson's administration wasted some money. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
So did Roosevelt's. So did Truman's. So did Wilson's.
So you think just the Democrats have wasted
money? No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying that...
That's all you mentioned.
That's all I mentioned, but also under Eisenhower, they did the same thing. Under Nixon, they did the same thing. Under Kennedy, they did the same thing. There's no difference between the two of you. This is what really gets me. As a matter of fact, I think where you're missing out of getting money on your show, you should get the neocons to listen to you. Because I think that, you know, listen to that one guy say, listen, what we stand for is morals, because it's morals to kill those babies before they're born. It's moral to have same-sex marriage. We've never had it before, but that's moral. Why, man, that would turn a liberal into a conservative overnight.
I don't agree.
I know you don't. Anyway, I just thought that you knew her.
No, I didn't.
Okie doke.
Sorry to hear about that.
Yeah. I bet you are, because I just thought you guys kind of work, you know, together a little bit more closely.
No.
No?
No.
Okie doke.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Ah, my goodness. Some of the things you hear on this program. You know, you have the right to be heard, but that doesn't include the right to be taken seriously. just always remember that. You know, well, hey, let's go back to the phone. We've got Greg in Westport, Connecticut. Hi, Greg.
How you doing?
Great.
Listen, I wanted to get back to what you were talking about when you said that we Democrats, what we have to do to regain power. And as usual, I agreed with about 99% of what you said. But then you said something which I think you should bite your tongue over.
Okay. Well, I'm getting
you
ready.
You said that we lost a couple of elections, and that is not the case. If you go back to 2000, you know, thousands of African Americans were wiped off the voter rolls who had legitimate Democratic votes, and they far exceed the 537 or whatever that Bush won by. So Al Gore won that election. If we look at 2004, there's a whole lot of suspicious things that went on. There was just a consortium that came out with a 900-page report. People who are analysts and people who worked with exit polls for decades who say that the Bush victory was almost impossible. So there's a good chance we won this past election, too. And even if Bush did win this election legitimately, he won by just a few hundred thousand votes, which is a medium-sized city. So if a medium-sized city had changed their mind, we would be having John Kerry in the White House right now. So I think that we beat ourselves up a little bit too much when we look at it in this way. So if you ask me, I think that instead of really changing our ideology, we have to think about election reform in this country, or I think we could put Jesus Christ himself up on a ticket and we'll still lose.
Well, I'll agree with you. I'll agree with you in as much as... Here's what I think, Greg. We did lose those two elections because we didn't fight hard enough to come out on top.
Okay.
That's how we lost. The debacle in 2000 was a travesty by the Democratic Party for not hanging in there and fighting. But the cold hard facts are, history will show that we didn't sit in the White House in 2000 and 2004. And it's nobody's fault but the Democratic Party for not standing up and fighting that tooth and nail, and we just didn't do it.
Oh, that's true. But my point is that rather than looking at ourselves as a party and saying we have to radically change the way...
Oh, no. No, we don't need to do that.
...or whatever, or being anti-choice. I think we should look at that, you know, technically we did win at one or maybe even two of those elections. So I think that we have to look at that, and I think we have to start saying, you know, we have to stand up and demand, you know, our rights in elections just as much as changing anything else.
Well, I think we at the grassroots level have the stomach for that, but it certainly shows that our Democratic elected leaders and so forth don't have the stomach for it.
Well, just today, you know, Barbara Boxer and Hillary Clinton, they put together an election reform bill that they're going to be pushing. That calls for paper trails. It calls for, you know, same-day voter registration and a lot of other things. So I think we all really have to get behind that.
Well, I know I certainly will. And, hey, I appreciate your viewpoint on it, Greg.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. Let's go to Mike down in Naples. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Guy.
Yeah.
There?
Yes.
Oh, geez, let me turn my volume up here for just a second. Hey, you got me, Guy?
Yes.
All right, yeah, I'd like to comment. Historically, at least as far as I can recall, back in the 1980s, weren't the Republicans considered the elitists? And how did the Republicans put that moniker on the Democrats the last 8-10 years? That's the first question. Second question regarding the not the previous caller, but the caller before about distributing wealth amongst the world. Aren't the Republicans primarily behind this new world order? And weren't historically the Democratic base, the blue-collar, unionized worker that brought himself up by the bootstraps in the Industrial Revolution, and particularly after World War II, that because of their organization gained great strides in increasing their salaries and their lifestyles by virtue of increased incomes? Those jobs are gone. Those people are gone. Those people used to primarily vote Democratic. Those jobs are all in other nations now. And indeed, those jobs have helped the poor of other nations to increase their lifestyles at the detriment of our working class's lifestyles. How is it that the Democrats are now trying to be blamed for that? That's all part of what I understood as the New World Order, which may or may not be a good thing, but it'll be 100 years before the entire world is at a parity and we can all start to pressure our governments and our labor leaders for increased income. It's going to be 100 years before that happens on a worldwide basis.
Well, you know, Mike, I think this thing is going to go full circle. We ship the jobs to Mexico. Mexico shipped the jobs to Taiwan. Taiwan shipped the job to China. China's shipping some to God knows where. And I think as it goes full circle, Americans will all lose their job. Our economy will be so bad that the Chinese will be shipping the jobs to us, and we'll be the ones making the stuff for Walmart then.
And in 100 years, that'll exactly be the case. We'll run full circle, and at that time, we can all the poor laborers of the world can put pressure on the owners of businesses and the bosses of the world, and we can all start to bargain for what we used to have in this country after the 1940s and 50s through the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, we'll have a new labor movement. It's inevitable. It'll start again. It'll follow this labor. It's following this labor to China now. There will be a labor movement there, and it'll keep working its way around until we're the third world country. We'll be getting the cheap jobs back, and then we'll have another labor reform movement right here.
Well, I can't wait. Probably not going to be in my lifetime or my kid's lifetime, but eventually it's going to happen. That's good news.
That's good news. Eventually it will happen. That's right. Mike, thank you for your call.
All righty.
Good to hear from you. Makes a lot of sense. You know, I talk about these conservative Republicans every week, and I'd like for somebody to let me know. I've been waiting for a little over 2 years. We've been doing this program for someone to call in and let us know what great deeds the Republican Party's ever done for the working man in this country. I'd just like to know. Maybe there's something there that I've missed. I don't know what it is. I don't know how I could have overlooked it. I mean, you look at the thing the Democrats have done, the federal land bank and voting rights for women, the Federal Reserve System, child labor laws. The list goes on and on and on and on. My God, it's no contest, folks. No contest at all. Listen, I want to thank you for listening to the program. I do appreciate your participation. www.theguyjaneshow.com. Throw a couple of bucks in there. Help keep this show on the air. We appreciate it. I appreciate your listening to this program and your participation. You've heard from the radical right. You sure have. And now all that's left is the truth. Good night, and we'll see you next week.
James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer, Gene Charles. Research director, Michael Merritt. Production manager, Frank Princeton. Production assistant, Liz Laura. Marketing director, Marlene Jones. Program coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication. And we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.
Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station, Wink WNOG.